about.
Okay, here's what I want. As soon as the music comes up, I want you to hit me with a spotlight. Bam! In a hard spot. Better yet, do you have those spotlights that come up from the ground?
Like
in pride fighting?
I can check.
Okay, so two of those, one on each side, and then one in the center, so that it casts my shadow behind me, like a giant looking over his own shoulder.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G.
From down under, but the direction they're heading is straight up. Recently, they made their debut on the Billboard 200 number 2 this summer, and now we welcome one. Guys, I'm the worst reader. They're only getting bigger. Take a look.
She's a bitch.
And now.
Okay, has anything that I've just said confused you?
Yes.
God damn it!
Our feature presentation.
Quit your jibber jabber. Quit your jibber jabber.
Now you come with Mr. T.
I pity the fool. Don't give me no back talk, sucker.
Well, it was his birthday
yesterday. Couldn't pull that out when we needed it yesterday. Today, you're all over Mr. T.
Well, I mean, timing, a little late.
Timing.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday, the 22nd of May.
Why can't it be Memorial Day weekend now?
Very
good
close.
Question.
Very
why
close.
Why are we working today and tomorrow, and then it's the weekend?
I believe that's how the calendar works.
There should be some sort of string you can pull to make time go faster. That's all I'm saying. Hey,
string you can pull.
It's Thursday, and you're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show, and I have a terrifying story to get us started today.
Don't make me mad.
I mean, this is hell on earth, you guys.
All right.
We've talked about a lot of bad things yesterday. You know, yesterday we had the guy having sex with the picnic table. I mean, a lot of situations we've described in the morning that you don't want to be any part of. But I think out of all of them, including the car crashes and the natural disasters and getting swarmed by bees and all the other stuff we've talked about, I think this might be the worst. And I'm serious about this.
It seems bad.
It happened on a Manhattan-bound N train in New York City on Tuesday morning at around 9 a.m. Let's say you're a passenger on that train. You get on, and there are 50 children on the train. Okay?
All right.
We're already in hell territory, by the way. It's already about as bad as you think it can possibly get.
You're on a school bus, literally.
Literally, yeah. 50 kids on the train. Oh, wait, I forgot to mention, every single one of them is holding a recorder.
A recorder?
Okay.
The musical instrument.
Oh.
A
recorder.
No.
Now, for folks who don't know.
Like a piccolo or a flute or something like that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Isn't the recorder the instrument that the kids who can't play instruments play because they're supposed to do something in the music class and
yes.
they have no ability, so you give them that? Because, I mean, it's you just blow into it, right, essentially?
Yeah, it's a dumb instrument, let's be honest.
And how would you describe the sound that a recorder makes?
I'd say flute-esque, but but not nearly as nice.
Yeah. Horrible, right?
Yeah,
it's a horrible sound.
It's a harsh little sound.
I mean, you always talk about, you've said many times, Kevin, that the marching band sound is the worst sound in the world.
Right.
I would challenge you with that, and I would listen to a marching band every day before I would listen to a bunch of kids playing the recorder.
Yeah.
Well, someone was shooting video, and here's a little bit of what that sounds like. I'm just warning you, this is not how you want to start your day, and you're not going to forget this, and this is going to be imprinted onto your brain, and you'll probably die thinking about this sound that you're about to hear that passengers had to endure, by the way, for 40 minutes.
40?
Wow.
Are you ready?
Yes.
And that just goes on.
Wow.
Why was this happening?
Well, that's why I'm so frustrated with all of my digging around. Nobody seemed to have talked to any of the kids, or there must have been some sort of a teacher that was with them or something. Nobody suggested that it was a flash mob. Was it a science experiment? Were they making a video? I mean, there's no answers as to why the kids were on the train playing the recorder. I know that they should have all been arrested and put to death. I do know that.
Wow.
But
that sounds bad. I'm not sure the death penalty is what we're looking for, though.
You think that's excessive?
Hold on. Listen a little bit more. How about now?
All right. 40 minutes straight.
40 minutes of 50 children playing the recorder.
How old were they?
Well, I mean, it looks like in the video, like they're, I don't know, 12 maybe? 12-ish? Something like that. But I mean, that's got to be the worst. That's got to be the worst commute ever, I would think, right?
It's pretty bad. Yeah,
it does seem bad.
So there you go. So whatever's happening in your life today, you're not a part of that nonsense.
40 kids. 40 kids are loud enough. Let alone playing
50 kids.
50 kids. Sorry. Wow. All right. Good. Good times.
Good times indeed.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean show, shall we?
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
That's a beer mug, by the way.
Yeah.
Yep, that's beer mug. On this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, we have a brand new internet roundup.
Okay.
We have your tickets for the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 in the second row.
Wow.
We are going to talk to Miss Double December, who we love. Right?
We love so much, yeah.
Love her so much. But we're going to have to, we might have to cut her loose.
You mean break up with her?
Yeah.
Really?
We might have to just end it.
I don't think we've ever done that before.
We've never even considered it.
Well, we may have to find the runner-up, see what she's doing.
Oh, I take it back. We considered it that year the woman gave birth.
Well, but she resigned with us, okay. I think. So I didn't think we'd have – I mean, I think she quit before she could be fired. But unfortunately, Miss Double D, she's got troubles.
She believes wholeheartedly in the secret. And the secret is nonsense.
Well, she is our Miss Double D.
I mean, it's working for her, Kevin. Right. You can say it's nonsense, but it's working for her.
But she could be our Miss Double D and not believe in the secret.
Well, that's what you think. We don't know.
Oh, we don't know. Dr. Drew's on the show today.
Mm-hmm.
We have comedian Mark Maron on the program today in the studio talking about his show, Maron on IFC.
Yep.
And we have Seth MacFarlane.
How about that?
I'm going to talk to him today about A Million Ways to Die in the West.
It was very nice of Ralph Garman to let Seth in his movie, by the way.
It was nice of him, wasn't it?
I think so.
Ralph's that way, though. He's magnanimous. That's
giver.
He's a giver.
He let Charlize Theron in his movie. I mean, I thought that was very generous, you know, of Ralph to look out for his friends and give them a little part in his film.
Right. And we're going to spend most of the day talking about the Kings last night. So we got that coming up as well. That was the most ridiculous game I've ever seen. We will take a quick break. We'll come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 5:52.
Time for the showbiz beat now. Where the hell is Ralph Garman?
He's here. He's here and ready. I don't know what you're referring to.
Yeah, me neither.
By the way, cover for a brother once in a while. Jesus
know.
Christ.
Such a tattletale.
It's K-Rock. Where's Ralph?
Where is he? The minute he sees I'm not in here, he goes right into where is he mode.
Just
actually, talk for a minute.
Actually, the last 100 times I have stalled, and now I thought, now what's going on? Like, why can't you come
then
in 10 seconds
earlier? Then make it 101.
Earlier?
Why can't you make it 101?
Why can't you come in 10 seconds early?
Why can't you jibber-jabber? Maybe I'm having trouble with the printer. Maybe that was
every
happening.
Hour?
Quit your jibber-jabber.
Things I'm glad to see you, guys. Glad to see you, Ralph.
Yeah,
glad you made it.
What an asshole.
Like I said, 100 times in a row, I stalled.
Well,
and now I'm
101.
Just, and then 102.
Where does it end, Ralph? That's what he wants
I know,
to
know.
Where does
I know.
It end?
I know. I'm committing crimes against nature by stepping in the studio 3 seconds late.
He's
kids,
so
kids. You're both just awful.
Just douchebaggery of legendary.
He's down on the phone.
Gotta get Don. Don'll sort this out, man. You get Don on the phone. He'll take care of this.
Can't be hard to be the fun parent if between Chris Martin and Gwyneth Paltrow, right?
I would think.
Chris Martin wins.
I would think so, yeah.
And he's going to win forever. In Touch magazine reports that he took his two children, Apple and Moses, out for fries and soda.
Oh, boy.
The other day. Bystanders say the kids looked like they had been left out of prison.
Well, they're finally free.
They were immensely enjoying the treats. And one bystander said they looked like they'd never eaten anything so good in their lives. So if you're Chris Martin, now you're co-parenting after being consciously uncoupled.
Yeah.
You just win. Just,
yeah. I think so, too.
What do you want to do, kids? I don't know, but let's go to McDonald's. McDonald's! It's like taking them to Disneyland every day. It's right down the street. You win. You win, Chris Martin. More details are coming out about the Kim Kardashian-Kanye West marriage that's happening this weekend. I'm glad to see they're, you know, of course they want it to be ornate and an event, but they're being reasonable.
Are they?
Yeah.
Oh, good.
They just dropped $650,000 on the rehearsal dinner.
What?
Rehearsal dinner.
$60,000.
No.
No, $650,000.
Oh, my God.
How do you spend
almost three-quarters of $1 million on the rehearsal dinner, Lisa?
How?
What do you think Kim Kardashian's wedding dress costs?
Oh, for God's sake.
I can't
couple
imagine.
Million?
$1 million?
$2 million for a wedding dress.
Is it not made of fabric?
It is.
Disgusting.
Then how can it possibly be worth that much?
Thank you, Lisa. Somebody gets it.
It's probably got beadwork.
$200,000 fireworks display. $6,000 bottles of champagne. Security detail. They're going to say the whole shindig should come in at just a hair under $8 million.
Wow.
Even if you're rich as Croesus, right? Even if you've got all the money that they have, that's still got to feel like...
Yeah, you notice $8
million. Overdoing a little
bit. That's a lot.
We could...
Oh, no, there's no overdoing it for them.
We could cut that budget in half.
No. That thought has never occurred to them.
Maybe give $4 million to a food bank or something. It just seems like... yeah.
Hey, let me point this out as well, you guys. This is Kim Kardashian's third marriage. It's not like this is her first time and she wants to finally have a great wedding. You know what I mean? This is her third time.
Remember that photo? The controversial photo of Willow Smith lounging on bed with that topless actor, Moises Arias?
Yeah, she's 13.
She's 13.
He's
20.
Yeah.
She was lying on bed with him. He was shirtless, sort of hanging out. And everybody said, oh, it's no big deal. And Will Smith said, oh, no big deal. And Jada Pinkett Smith said, you people are disgusting with the way your thoughts are going. That perfectly innocent scenario. Poo, pish, feh.
Did she say poo,
I believe
poo,
that
pish,
was
feh?
An actual quote, yes. Huh. Well, the only, you know, who's taking it seriously is the Los Angeles Department of Children and Family Services.
Oh.
Radar Online apparently claims an investigation was formally opened last week and, according to a source, is being taken very seriously by the department. I guess it's up to them to investigate creepy, right? They got to look into it.
Yeah, but I would imagine if the parents, and forget that they're celebrities, just in general, if both parents say there's nothing inappropriate going on and we trust our kid, it doesn't seem like there's much to investigate.
But what kind of parents are they, for God's sakes?
Well, first
taking
of all,
everything into account.
She's 13 and he's 20.
Right.
And they weren't there. So
well,
they don't know.
If I show up and you're already naked waiting for me on your bed, then it might be hard to be just a friend.
See? That happens.
That's a good point.
So they don't know really what was going on.
But they know their kid, right? I mean, I would take your parents.
You and fool around.
Everybody knows their kids, Bean. It doesn't mean the kids aren't doing wrong things when they're out of eye line of their parents.
Okay.
I'm cute, though. Built good.
So it's either a girl hanging out with her brother's friends or he's shirtless, or what kind of loser is 20 years old hanging out with 13-year-olds on his bed?
Well, that's a good question, too.
I
Do
think
you
it's worthy.
Down there.
It's worthy of an investigation, especially if she shaves down there.
Well, that hasn't come out yet, but I guess we'll keep listening.
So,
did you bring condoms with you?
No problem with them just looking into it and just seeing. What's up?
You like doggy?
All right.
Oh,
it's getting very uncomfortable.
That's Everyone likes doggies.
That
They're adorable.
About a pet.
We love doggies. They're our best friends.
Right. They're That's
our,
my point.
They're our canine companions.
Right.
Hey, you want to be in the...
I control my horny level.
All right. You want to be in the next Star Wars movie?
Why not?
Sure.
Is that an option?
It's all gonna yeah. Just going to cost you $10.
Then yes.
All right.
$10?
Yeah. Very cool thing is happening with J.J. Abrams and Disney and Lucasfilm. They're putting together a charity to find some creative solutions to some of the world's biggest problems. It is in conjunction with UNICEF and their Innovation Labs program. And it's called Star Wars Force for Change. They're currently doing a fundraiser. Disney's already committed $1 million to the project, but looking to raise more money from the folks. And so they have started sort of a sweepstakes. If you go to omaze.com, omaze.com/Star Wars before July the 18th, and you donate $10, you're automatically entered into a contest that the grand prize of which will be a chance to win a cameo in the upcoming Star Wars number 7.
What a brilliant promotion.
Well, $10?
Yeah. Yeah, so simple, but what a great prize.
Was that the video that I saw of J.J. Abrams?
That was J.J. on the set in Abu Dhabi.
It was fascinating just to see the set and see some of the people watching behind.
Yeah, that was one, cool. That one, like, peddler with the stuff on his back just kind of looks into the camera. Yeah, it was fun. So if you go to omaze.com/Star Wars and you donate just $10 to this very worthy charity, I mean, UNICEF does great work all around the world. You are automatically entered into a contest that perhaps will result in you being in the new Star Wars film.
I cannot believe that I'm actually thinking about blanking your blank.
All right. All right. Being just I hate when Chris Hansen reads Bean's emails. It just makes me so uncomfortable.
It is. Yeah. It's rough.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Okay. Yeah. I started getting emails from you Morrissey fans about a week ago. I know. I got it. Today is his birthday. I understand.
I think Ralph learned that 10 years ago.
How could you be so excited about a man's birthday who I promise you will have the least happy birthday of anyone ever? You're more excited than he is, I guarantee you.
By far, yeah.
He is 55 years old today. Former model Naomi Campbell's 44 years old. Jennifer Goodwin is 36. And actress Maggie Q, Kevin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Nikita.
She's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
All right. I'm going to die.
Kevin's going to die, 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 die. Kevin's going to die, die, die. Kevin's going to do a lot of drinking. And, of course, not much thinking. Kevin's going to go to Brazil. And, of course, he will be killed. It's the World Cup. Hope your team win before you come back in the coffin.
I was thinking about you this... Hello?
What?
I was thinking about you this morning. I woke up and the headline on Huffington Post is in huge, huge letters, like 40-point print on the website. Crime surges in Brazil ahead of World Cup. And it goes on to talk about how there are thousands of muggings in Rio de Janeiro every year now. Thousands.
Yep.
Like they can't even, the police can't, they can't even investigate. There are so many of them. Hundreds happen in a month. It's insane. It's like the Wild West down there.
It might be good to start with that then. I've been collecting a bunch of articles that people send me on Twitter, and very thoughtful, by the way. I think our listeners are really looking
they
out for me.
They care about you. Yeah.
They care about me. They want to make sure that I get back safe, and that's it's touching.
Yeah.
Or they're trying to rub it in, one or the other. Talking about crime and muggings, though, Mauricio Shogun Hua.
Yes. Very popular MMA fighter.
Yes. Was the champ of the UFC at one point.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the story of him getting robbed.
Really?
Yes.
And he's from there, right?
Not only is he a fighter, he's Brazilian and he's super famous, so they know who he is.
Yeah.
Wow, that takes a lot of gonads to rob a guy like that.
We were in Rio de Janeiro and went to dinner with Mauricio at a restaurant. At the end of the night, he left us. He was in a friend's car. He was forced to stop by another guy with four men armed with rifles. They took his clothes, money, and his friend's car.
Wow.
Now, why do they need his clothes?
I can't imagine. I mean, I don't know. Unless they're trying to stop him from being able to chase after them because he won't because he's naked or something. I don't know.
They said, I know who you are. You're a fighter. Don't try anything or you'll die.
Wow.
They took everything,
look,
even his shirt.
Rifles plus UFC fighter still equals rifles.
Right. Yes. So that happened pretty recently.
Uh-huh.
And again, they all know, you know, who he is and what's going on. So I got this one sent to me a couple of days ago. Rio taxi drivers scamming ahead of World Cup.
Okay.
So it's not just the hooligans that are out there robbing people. Soccer fans visiting Rio de Janeiro for next month's World Cup are being told to watch out for drivers who overcharge them for a ride in one of the city's yellow taxis. So basically, you could get in a taxi and it could be a bogus taxi where the guy says, you know, whatever, it's $150 for a two-block ride.
Mm-hmm.
And you basically have to pay it.
Oh, my God.
How do you know what's a real taxi and what's not a real taxi? Don't know.
Don't know. And, I mean, look, there are thousands and thousands and thousands of tourists, more than ever because of the World Cup. And what are the chances any of them are ever going to follow up legally? They're going to go back home to their country and they're just going to write it off to a bad experience. And you'll get away with it. In all likelihood, if you pull something like this on a tourist, you're going to get away with it.
Yeah. A worrying rise in Rio de Janeiro's assaults ahead of World Cup, adding police reinforcements. There was a dude that was taking a bus. Now, we talked about the cabs. Here's a guy taking a bus home from a soccer match and the where the World Cup final will be held. And a teenager slid into the seat beside him, and another boy took the seat behind him. The one next to him told him to hand over his wallet and cell phone, whispering that his friend had a gun. The 35-year-old truck driver didn't see any weapon, but as is standard practice, handed over his belongings.
Well, now, this would be a good time to keep in mind what our Kevin Bean listener down in Brazil told us on the air last week, which is you should carry an additional wallet and burner cell phone with you that you can hand over in the event that you're mugged.
Yeah, that way that you could give them something, but it's not necessarily going to be everything.
Now, are you going to do that?
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you should. No joke. I think you should do that.
I met with the guys that I'm going with last night, and we talked about all this, and it's good times. It is good times. Here's the report about a crack squad of specialist RoboCops that will be down there. They're RoboCop-style troops. They're preparing for the World Cup. They carry M16s and M4 carbine rifles with laser sights. They have pistols, they have fragmentation and stun grenades, and they also have special cars. It's called the Special Police Operations Battalion. One is called the Peacemaker, and another one is called the Big Skull. So this is supposed to put our minds at ease. Great. There's going to be 4,000 regular police officers, along with 1,500 military officers.
Okay, well, that's comforting.
The headline here, we already mentioned once, Brazil don't, police warn visitors don't scream if robbed. So they do tell you. And the reason for that is if you scream, you die.
Okay.
So they're saying you're just making a robbery worse. Hand them your stuff and don't say a word.
That's an excellent tip for visitors.
To which I say, we just target tourists and ask for their stuff.
You?
Yes.
Oh.
Because then they're just supposed to hand it over and not yell.
Oh, so you're going to be on the other side of the crowd.
Right. Wave. Why not?
You. Okay.
FIFA officials say World Cup soccer fans will have a hard time in Brazil. Now, we've been planning this trip, I don't know, for 2 years or something like that. And these reports are coming out fast and furiously. FIFA Secretary General said the biggest problem is lack of infrastructure. You can't sleep on the beach. You have to wear shoes on the beach. Why? Use syringes.
Excellent.
Make sure you organize your accommodations. You can't just arrive with a backpack and start walking. There are no trains. You cannot drive from one venue to the other. So sometimes it's 1,200, 1,500 miles, and there's no good roads.
Oh, wow.
So you have to take a plane. You have to fly.
You have to fly everywhere?
Yes.
Whoa.
Which leads me to this article. Unfinished World Cup airports won't be a problem, says Brazil. The airports aren't finished.
What?
Not only are they not finished, the timetable that they're on, they will finish long after the World Cup leaves.
Was it a surprise to Brazil that the World Cup was coming? I mean,
they've had like 7 years. And
I was going to say, they didn't just tell them in January of this year, oh, by the way, this summer it's the World Cup. They've known, right?
You saw the hailstorm, right?
Yes, I saw the hailstorm, yeah.
In the latest setback, heavy rain caused flooding in the passenger terminal of the World Cup airport in the jungle city of Manaus. Guess what my first stop is?
Could I'm going to guess. Manaus?
Manaus! Upsetting travelers and forcing officials to temporarily close some areas. Construction continues at full pace in many of the airports, with some of the renovation projects initially planned for the World Cup will be completed after the tournament. And apparently, they're using tents. They're putting up tents.
My God.
Best vacation ever.
A tent is the airport. Now, remember when I told you about Manaus is where we're going? Here is a report that there are a lot of protests because people, don't have food.
Yeah.
And the country's spending, you know, however many millions or billions of dollars. The Amazonian military leader, General Ubirian Poti, walks around with a chained pet, jaguar.
Oh my God!
So that happens.
It's like a movie.
And then finally, public health officials are worried about spreading a virus, and the virus is called dengue fever.
Oh, dengue fever, yeah.
Dengue fever. It's also called...
That's a real deal.
It's also called breakbone fever. It's caused by several related viruses. It causes fever, rash, pain in the head, bones, joint, muscles, and sometimes nose or gum bleeding.
You kind of want to get the dengue fever first so you can't feel it when you're being robbed.
That's a good idea. Try to plan the way these things go.
There is no vaccine.
Oh, man.
So you got all of that. Those are only probably 10 of the headlines that I have discovered as our wonderful K-Rock audience keeps sending them to me. There's another one where they're shooting AK-47s into the air like they just don't care because they're celebrating.
Still looking forward to the trip?
Oh, absolutely. It's going to be a blast.
Kevin's going to die, 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 die. Kevin's going to die, die, die.
So Taylor Swift is a hideous blow pig, right?
No, she's America's sweetheart, first of all.
That's what I meant.
She's America's sweetheart.
That's
she's
what I meant, yeah.
Lovely and delightful and charming, and I love her so much.
But her face is pointy.
Yeah, she's a little pointy.
Yeah, she's pointy.
She's very, very pretty. But listen,
Pete is now sending me emails after the show, like, at home, you struggle, and then there's a picture of Taylor Swift.
Because it's look, I know that you're not a fan of her music. I know she bugs. But to say she's not pretty is just...
I don't think she is. Well, here's the thing. She's one of those people that can take great pictures, mm-hmm. but most of them you go, wow.
Well, she's in the news right now, and this is, look, I'm a Swiftie. We all know that. I love her so much.
Yeah, but stop saying it, though, out loud.
I have to say, I feel like her team let her down. I feel like somebody should have done a little due diligence here. Like anyone who starts a business, you can't start a business without checking to see if there's another business that already has that name. I mean, this just seems like a fail on every level. Lucky 13. Ralph told us about this story a couple days ago. Lucky 13, a very popular Southern California brand that I think we've all seen for years and years and years. How Taylor and her people didn't know that when she started her own business called Lucky 13, where she started putting out T-shirts and everything like that. It's just crazy to me. No wonder they're suing her. They should sue her.
This is her comment. I was born on the 13th. I turned 13 on Friday the 13th. My first album went gold in 13 weeks. My first number one song had a 13-second intro. That's what she just said.
All right.
She had a 13-second intro on one of her songs, Bean.
Hard to believe. I would be obsessed with somebody who loves numbers, isn't it?
Crazy.
So we wanted to find out more about how this mistake happened and what she's going to do to correct it in the future because it just seems like bad business practice. So we asked producer Dave, music intro. Awesome.
Just a little, though.
Asked Dave if there's any way we can talk to Taylor. And believe it or not, we do have her on the phone. And she joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. This is a big thrill. I'm very excited.
Oh,
hi, Taylor.
Me too.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you answered the phone.
Okay, you can't act surprised about that. We set this up with your people, Taylor. You knew you were going to be talking to us. It's not a surprise.
I can't believe I'm on the radio.
You've been on the radio a lot. So, what happened? How did you guys screw this up so bad?
I don't know. I have my clothing line, which is Lucky 13.
Uh-huh. Right, but there's another clothing line.
Oh, my God, another clothing line.
Yeah, they've been in existence for I don't know, 20 years or something.
Oh, my God. They should stop.
No. They had it first. You have to change.
But I'm Taylor Swift.
Right, but you took their name. You used a name that they were already using. That's a terrible mistake of yours.
Yeah, but I'm Taylor Swift.
Okay, but that doesn't matter. You understand they own the name. You're in the wrong. You should stop.
They should stop.
No, that's not how it works, Taylor. I'm sorry. Have you seen or have your people told you about the lawsuit?
Yeah, and I just said, make them stop.
That's not how it works. Like a very smart
I got a lot of businesses. I got a lot of businesses, so I don't care.
Well, you have more than just the Lucky 13?
Yeah, I'm opening a new chain of restaurants.
Okay.
I love hamburgers.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
And so I want to name it after my two favorite cartoon characters,
okay.
Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck. I call it McDonald's.
Okay.
And they're so good. The burgers are so good. You guys, that's them. Oh, my God.
That's a pretty big company, McDonald's. They already have that name.
But yeah. I'm Taylor Swift.
Right, but they have been selling hamburgers for 60 years. You can't just call your restaurant McDonald's.
And I got a new perfume.
a new perfume.
Okay.
That I thought of when I was watching television. I was flipping channels.
Right.
So I call it Chanel.
Again, Chanel exists
Chanel
already.
Chanel perfume.
Right, but that's already a thing, Taylor. You have to come up with something that hasn't been used.
And I came up with a new soda that gives you a lot of pep. I call it Pepsi.
These are very well-established brands that you're trying to knock off their game here, Taylor.
I have a new cleaning system for cleaning your house.
A cleaning system?
Yeah, you clean your house. Because I'm Taylor Swift, I call it the Swiffer.
Okay, again, the Swiffer. That's a thing. You can go to any store and buy a Swiffer right now.
I'm a Christian. I love Christ.
Okay.
I have a new car coming out called the Chrysler.
Again.
Chrysler. That already exists.
Can't. Taylor, it doesn't work that way.
I grew up in Pennsylvania.
Right.
Even though I put on this fake Southern accent a lot.
Right, sure.
So there's this town in Pennsylvania that I love. So I'm coming out with new candy. It's chocolate candy. I'm going to call it the Hershey Bar because it's a place in Pennsylvania called Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Right, which
so
you know.
Hershey.
But you have to have heard of Hershey if you lived in Pennsylvania. It's a thing.
What are you saying?
What?
And
I have a new drink coming out.
Okay.
It's bubbly and it makes you cheery. So I'm calling it beer.
Beer.
You drink it, makes you feel good, makes you cheer, and it's bubbly. Beer.
Have you been having some of that this morning, Taylor?
I'm Taylor Swift.
You're Taylor Swift. That's the only thing that we can agree on, though.
I'm Taylor Swift.
Out on the desert plains, it hardly ever rains, and you can hear coyotes cry.
Sing it if you know it.
They'll eat you up and then
I don't know it.
Eat you out again, cause there's a million ways to die.
The long-awaited new film from director, producer, co-writer, and actor Seth MacFarlane, A Million Ways to Die in the West, is finally here 1 week from tomorrow. Welcome, Seth, back to the program here on the Kevin Meade Show right now. Hello, Mr. MacFarlane, sir.
Is it a week away? God, that's amazing.
A week from tomorrow, yes.
The 30th, right?
Yeah, the 30th.
That's when it's in theaters.
How long have you been working on this?
Is that Ralph Garman?
That is Ralph Garman.
The motion picture?
It is Seth MacFarlane, yes. And I'm so proud to be a part of this film, sir. I got to tell you, we saw it the other night at the premiere, and it was
Ralph
just
Garman,
amazing.
Every Ralph Garman line gets a giant laugh. I just want to point that out.
We had been
to tons of screenings of this thing, and every time Ralph he's like the secret weapon.
You're you of course are the star. Charlize Theron is in it. Amanda Seyfried, Liam Neeson, Giovanna Ribisi, Neil Patrick Harris, Sarah Silverman, and then the aforementioned Ralph Garman.
One of these is not like the other, Seth.
How long have you been working on this movie from the beginning of the idea until now?
How long?
Yeah.
It's actually, we were finishing up Ted around the time we came up with this idea, and we were doing rewrites, the last of our rewrites, and we were just kind of procrastinating and watching an old Clint Eastwood movie called Hang 'Em High, and I and my co-writers, Alec and Wellesley, we said, God, you know, this is, we're all fans of this genre, but doesn't it look like an awful, depressing, dangerous place to be? And so, you know, we kind of started riffing and decided to explore it from a comedic standpoint as our next movie, because it hadn't, you know, been Blazing Saddles, obviously, which is a classic, but it's been a while since anyone's tackled this genre in comedy.
And how comfortable were you in a world of cowboy hats and cow manure, Seth?
I got used to it. My character is not supposed to be comfortable in that world, so I allowed myself to remain, you know, kind of a pussy. It was definitely a new experience. I got fairly good at riding a horse. I don't know that I would do it for pleasure, but there's something just really, you know, humbling when you're on a horse and the horse just stops to take a dump and you got to sit, you're on its back and
yeah.
You just got to sit there and wait for it.
Yeah, the horse is in charge.
Yeah, yeah. For that moment, the horse is like, you're weird, not going anywhere until I finish this.
Now, Ralph, you've of course known Seth for many years now, been a regular on Family Guy. You were in Ted. What was it like for you as an actor working for Seth, making this movie?
Well, I mean, I worked with like you mentioned, I worked with Seth on Ted, and then on this, I was just impressed. Sir, and perhaps you can address this, about how many hats you were wearing. I mean, this is the first time you were starring in front of the camera as yourself, and you're also directing and modulating your own performance and everybody else's. Why would you take on such a monumental task?
By the way, Ralph fails to mention he was an incredibly method guy on set. I mean, the phrase "I need a minute."
Sure.
Was uttered
many times.
So many times.
Yeah. I needed time longer to prepare than I was in the film.
Ralph, is this more of that Meisner crap that's going to keep us here till midnight? Like, this is my process, you idiot.
Deal with it.
Hey, so, Seth, how do you as a director judge your own performance? Is that difficult?
At first, about the first week or so of editing, it was a little jarring, and I kind of fell into it pretty quickly, the same way that I have on Family Guy. You know, with Family Guy, I'll record the voices, and when I go to edit the tracks, my brain would switch over into a different mode, and I would sort of feel like I was watching somebody else or listening to somebody else.
Right.
And that's kind of how this felt. Pretty early into the process, you kind of step away, and it's like, it's weird. It's like you're watching another person.
You got a pretty good dance partner there with Charlize Theron, by the way. That can't hurt.
The best in the world for somebody who is taking their first step up to the plate at this type of thing. I could not have asked for a better partner. She was just magnificent.
We've interviewed her several times. She has such a great sense of humor. But you're right, you don't think of her in this type of role.
She's, you know, I think you'll be seeing a lot more of her in comedy, because she's just fantastic, and she has the world's greatest laugh.
Yes,
she's just a pro, and dances back and forth between the comedy and the sincerity in the movie with such deftness that I'm surprised she hasn't done 1,000 comedies.
Really, well, throughout the cast, I mean, top to bottom, Neil Patrick Harris just crushes in this, and Sarah Silverman's so good, and Giovanni's always so good. Just a great cast, really, throughout.
Yeah, I lucked out. I could go my whole career and not have an ensemble like this. I mean, there is just an extraordinary bunch.
Well, we know you have to go, and I know your next movie, when it gets here, is going to be Ted 2. Is there going to be room for Ralph Garman in Ted 2, do you think?
You know, I think it's kind of hard to do a movie without Ralph Garman at this point, you know?
I don't want to say good luck charm, Seth, but I'm just thinking. So far, I think we're two for two, buddy.
Right. Ralph is the guy. It'll be the same thing. We'll just cut to you in that mustache and the cowboy hat.
That's right. Use some clips from this one. Nobody will notice.
2050 in Boston. Yeah.
I love it. A Million Ways to Die in the West. Everyone needs to go see this. It opens up all over the world next Friday. Thanks, Seth. Always great to have you on the show, sir.
Great. Thanks, you guys.
Thank you.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ.
Nice.
You're listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:55. Dr. Drew on the program today. His weekly visit here on the Kevin and Bean Show explains that we're all going to die. It seems inevitable at this point, right, Ralph? There's two things going around, both of which are going to kill us all.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's super bugs now who are just going to wipe us out.
Also, the king of conversation, as he is known, our friend Mark Maron on the program today. And we'll talk to Brittany, Miss Double December 2014, next. We found out something very interesting about Brittany. You will not want to miss this conversation. That's coming up. First, though, Ralph, it's your time for the showbiz beat.
Shannon hasn't worn a bra in 3 weeks.
That's
the interesting I found out about it. I don't know what you guys are talking about.
We may have trouble moving on from that little tidbit.
I got my priorities. Great. Hey, heads up, tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood.
No.
Kevin Smith and I return to the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
And we'd love to have you join us. We have a very good time at this show. It is 10 p.m. tomorrow night at the Improv on Melrose. To get your tickets, you can go to improv.com or babylonralph.com. But come out and join us, because we sure do have a good time. They told me last week I had a great time.
Is that right?
That's what they told me.
I just don't care at all.
We've taken to a new closing segment of the show where I pull out a breathalyzer and I blow into it.
I like it.
People have to gamble and bet what I'm going to blow.
I like it.
It's called Ralph Blows.
What's your mark that you set? What's the...
Personal.
What's the record?
Best was a .1.
Right.
Which wasn't too much over the legal limit of .08.
Give us something to shoot for this week, though.
Yeah. We had first time we played it with a girl in the audience guessed. I said, what's your guess? She said, 2.6. I was like, 2.6?
You wouldn't be standing.
I think that's death.
That's funny.
Yeah. So come on and see us at improv.com to get your tickets for tomorrow night.
No!
Remember the name Caleb Johnson, because this is the last time you'll ever hear the name Caleb Johnson. He is the winner of last night's American Idol Season 13 finale.
Oh, Caleb Johnson. He's the best.
Caleb Johnson. He is the winner.
That guy that sings those songs?
He is your American Idol.
I personally don't have an American Idol.
Yes, you do. It's America.
Kevin, even if you don't vote for the president, he's still your president. Same thing with Idol.
So, congratulations, and we look forward to never hearing from you again, Caleb.
Ralph, I don't know the answer to this. Maybe you do. How long has it been since any American Idol contestant went on to have a post-show career? Well, who was the last one, even?
Jennifer Hudson? She didn't even win, though, did she?
Reuben Studdard?
Reuben didn't have much of a career.
I mean, Jordan Sparks had a little bit of a career, but even that's 6-7 seasons ago. So they just evaporate. You're so right. When they win, we never hear from them again anymore.
No. Who was the dude who beat out Catherine McPhee with the gray hair, with the harmonica?
Taylor Hicks. Yep. Gone.
It seems like if you're a runner-up or you're lower down in the pack, you seem to have a better career longevity.
Adele Dazeem,
of course, she was the big one. Right. She won season 4. Yeah, that was huge.
I am being reminded that Philip Phillips had that home song that's on all the commercials. So that was, I guess, sort of a hit, right?
Philip Phillips.
I don't know.
You're just making up names now. Oh, remember Bobby Roberts? He also had a huge hit. And Sammy Samuels also was very popular.
I don't even know what that is.
Speaking of music news, Deadmau5 now has a subscription-based music app you can put on your phone.
Okay.
For $5 a month or $45 a year, you get exclusive Deadmau5 music, videos, and dispatches on how his cat is doing, he says.
Is that a joke?
I don't know.
Okay.
$5 a month.
I was out until you said the cat part. Now I can't wait to sign up.
You're on. Arcade Fire's Richard Reed is releasing a solo album.
Oh.
You know he plays 9 different instruments in Arcade Fire? 9 different instruments.
Hmm. Wow.
Most people can't be good at one. Music for Heart and Breath is the name of the album. It'll be out on June 9th on a classical music label called Deutsche Grammophon. Mm-hmm. Because basically it's a classical album. He'll be joined by the Kronos Quartet, members of the National and other performers. And each song is all about internal rhythms, he says.
Right.
All right.
We've lost him.
Yeah. Don't break up the band, Richard. Just hang on to Arcade Fire. That's all we have. And we're talking about Kim Kardashian's wedding coming up this weekend. We did mention that her wedding dress was a $2 million wedding dress. Mm-hmm. But at least she's being reasonable, because now in this story I read this morning from Us Weekly, she is taking care of her looks by getting a facial before she jets off to Paris.
Yeah.
It is a vegan stem cell facial.
What? Stem cell
apparently,
of what?
It's cells that are extracted from a marine plant.
Okay.
And is reportedly supposed to firm and lift your skin for a week.
What?
And then it wears off after a week. So it's just
so you're
long
good
enough
for photos.
Long enough for her to say I do, and then then everything just drops. This is what you're married. Congratulations. Some horrible Jekyll and Hyde thing.
Hope you're happy.
Yeah. So
there's a new way to get a facial.
It's the latest thing. Vegan stem cells. Stem cells. They're not just for curing cancer anymore. Now they'll make you look good on your wedding.
Yeah, why waste them on getting paralyzed people to walk when you can?
But only for a week.
That's you can make Kim's face look good for a photo.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Marcy's 55 years old today. Naomi Campbell's 44. Jennifer Goodwin celebrates her 36th birthday.
Is Naomi Campbell the only supermodel who's not pretty? I guess Kate Moss. She put her on that list too, right? Those two, though.
It is
strange looking.
She's an anomaly.
Yeah.
Maggie Q, speaking of pretty.
Yep.
She's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
We want you to go to the K-Rock Weenie Roast 2014 with us. It's a week from Saturday. We got tickets in the second row. You can win coming up later on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, you know who else is going to be there at the Weenie Roast that we haven't seen in a while?
Avicii.
Miss Double December.
Oh, yeah.
That's right.
Our friend Britt Brett, who joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Brittany.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hello.
So, April Foolishness, we're all backstage hanging out, catching up, and I'm sitting there talking to Brittany, and she told me something so shocking that I just shook my head. I couldn't believe it was real. I would have more easily been told she had a penis than what she told me on the couch that day. That's
well,
how surprised
on.
I was.
Let's not jump to conclusions. Do you have a penis?
I do not.
Okay.
I'm so sorry.
All right. Good. No, that's good. Point. That's a good thing.
Brittany, can you imagine what it was you told me that surprised me so that night?
It was about The Secret.
The Secret.
It was about The Secret. Mm-hmm. Now,
The Secret
is a thing from back in 2006, it turns out. It was a very popular movie and book, and the cult of Oprah spread it, and it was a self-help movement. Tell us about The Secret and how you came to believe in it, Brittany.
Well, I heard about The Secret in 2007. I actually watched the movie, and it pretty much changed my life. It changed the way that I thought about things. It changed how I attracted things to myself. Basically, what The Secret is like attracts like. Whatever you think about, you receive and you bring to you. And I know that's hard for some people to understand because, you know, you're like, oh, I have these negative thoughts. No way I'm attracting that to myself. But actually, you are attracting that to
yourself.
All right,
but let's clarify. There is a difference between a positive mental attitude, which everybody agrees on helps.
Yeah.
If you're positive in life,
better
things happen to you. And The Secret, in which one of the things they say is, if you need money, close your eyes and picture a check coming to your mailbox, and it will.
Yes.
Now that's dumb.
No, it's not dumb
Brittany.
At all. I've used The Secret for many things in my life since 2007.
How many checks have you received? Because if you truly believe in The Secret, you would spend all day thinking about checks, and they would arrive by the truckload.
Well, of course we have lives, and we have to focus on other things.
Oh.
I have received checks, and I have received jobs and thinking about those checks that I wanted, and, you know, the checks did come to me. I use The Secret for parking spots. When I'm at the mall and there's no parking, I'm like, I'm going to turn the corner, and there's going to be a parking spot waiting for me on the left-hand side. And sure enough, there's a parking spot.
Okay, but let me ask you this. If you hadn't had that thought in your beautiful little head about The Secret, do you think that spot wouldn't have been there when you turned the corner?
I mean, I'll never know.
Yeah, you will. The answer is it still would have been there. Right? I mean, it's not like when you thought that, a physical car disappeared from that spot. Right?
Right, but...
Okay.
I mean...
Brittany, you told me a story when we spoke at April Foolishness, and I don't remember what the details are. I hope you do, about a piece of jewelry that you use the laws of attraction to obtain.
Yes. It was a Guess watch, and it took me 2 years to get. But I thought about it and thought about it and thought about it, and I eventually got it. And it was crazy because I saw it online one day. And I said, I really, really want that watch, but I don't want to buy it for myself, so I'm just going to think about it and focus on it, and I'm going to attract it to myself.
Wow, you're bringing the crazy extra hard today, huh?
So how did you end up getting the watch?
Well, I saw it a second time a year later in San Francisco, and out of nowhere, and I said, oh my gosh, that's the watch that I want. I still really, really want it. And then a year later, I was walking through the mall with my mom, and she points at the same watch that I wanted, which I didn't tell her that I wanted it.
Sure.
And she said, hey, isn't that watch cute? You should get it. I'll buy it for you. And I was completely shocked. I'm like, I never even told her that I wanted that watch. So
do you think that somehow the vibrations in your head, like, put it out there in the universe, and she had a little antenna up that just picked up on that, and maybe even subconsciously she did what you wanted her to do?
I mean, I attracted it to myself. You put out those energies, and it comes to you. You don't have to worry about how you're going to get it. You just have to focus on it. You have to manifest it. You have to believe that you already have it. You have to picture yourself having it. I would look at my wrist and say, yeah, this watch, I'm going to have that watch on my wrist one day.
It would be so cool to be hot. Don't you think? You know what I mean? Like, because you go through life and you say stuff like this and people go, uh-huh, yeah, oh, sure, you're hot.
Well, but, I even used the secret to win Miss Double December.
Or you earned winning Miss Double December.
Or but, I put a tennis ball in my mouth. I don't know.
Right, exactly. Yeah. But Kevin, I mean, look, I agree with you, and I thought the same thing. I thought if Brittany gets pulled over and the secret, you know, she uses the secret to not get a ticket. Well, the truth is she didn't get a ticket because she, look at Brittany, right?
Right, right.
But, and I agree with you on that, but that doesn't work on your mom. Your mom doesn't buy you a watch out of nowhere because you're pretty. Right,
right? Exactly. No, definitely. Since I was 18, my mom has not been like, here's this, here's that. You know, things aren't handed to me that way.
So, Bean, are you now firmly in the crazy Britney camp?
I want to make sure Britney still likes me. That's all I care about. What's on, if this doesn't violate the rules of the secret? By the way, we'd be fascinated to talk to other Kevin and Bean listeners who believe in and use the secret. I don't know that we've ever talked about that, certainly not since the thing became
when
popular all those years ago.
When did the book come out? When did the whole thing hit?
2006.
2006.
Yeah. It was the movie first and then a book.
Oh, okay.
Oddly, yeah. So if you are also a believer in the secret like Brittany, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. My question for you, Britt, was going to be, if this doesn't violate the rules of the secret, is there something that you're wishing on now, something that you're thinking about that you're trying to attract toward you right now?
It's not Fight yes. Club, Bean. She could talk about it.
I don't know what the rules are. I don't know if you're not allowed to say it.
You know, if you do want something, it's great to say it out loud.
Okay.
I always tell people the things that I want, the things that I'm trying to attract. And
sure.
Even more so when it happens and I'm like, see, I told you.
So, okay. Okay. So hold on. So hot chick telling people what she wants. It happens.
Miraculously, stuff just shows up.
How does that work?
That guy just got me an apartment, you guys. I didn't have anything to do with it.
That's crazy.
So what is it? Like, what's your get right now that you're hoping for?
Right now, I really want to go on a yacht.
A yacht. Done.
Yeah, I want to go on the ocean. I love the ocean. I know
done.
How to sail.
Done.
Now, when Bean says done, that's because he's under the control of the secret?
No, it's because I'm going to rent a yacht and head on down. That's why. So you want to go on a yacht. That's what you're hoping is going to happen.
Yeah, okay. I just want to be on the ocean, have a nice, relaxing time, and enjoy with my friends. So,
now, you know, those are available, right?
Yeah.
You can actually go on a yacht. It might cost you a little something, but
I suspect that some Kevin and Bean listener has already offered you that on your Instagram page right now, Brittany, now that they've heard you say that. Got an invitation. All right. Well, listen.
And I didn't have to worry about how I was going to do it.
We're going to say goodbye to you now so you can go off and pray or whatever it is you do. And then we're going to take calls from other listeners who are benefiting from The Secret. But a fascinating topic, Brittany. And listen, we'll see you a week from Saturday at the Weenie Roast, okay?
I can't wait. I'll see you guys soon.
Did you think, hey, I sure would like to go to a Weenie Roast?
I did.
There you go.
I did.
The Secret, people. The Secret. All right. You're crazy, but we still love you. Bye.
Love you.
Okay. Bye.
Don't disparage Brittany, by the way.
She already likes you, Bean. You don't have to say that.
Okay, then she's kind of crazy.
<You're good. laughs>
We'll take your calls. 1-800-520-10.
More than one listener has pointed out that if The Secret really worked, Beer Mug would not still have a job at K-Rock.
Oh, true.
Let's put it that way. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067 to find out if you believe in The Secret as our own Miss Double December 2014 Brittany does. We got so many people, by the way, 7 years later who are still into The Secret. Let's go to Ralph real quick. He's on line one. He was our first caller through. Apparently, The Secret has changed his life, Kevin.
Hey, Ralph.
Hey, good morning, Lisa, Bean, Kevin, Ralph, everyone
Hello.
Else.
So The Secret is you picture it, you believe it, and it comes to you.
Yeah, dude, you don't have to hope for it. You have to, like, picture and visualize it.
And what did you picture and visualize?
Everything from winning, like, jackpots, multiple jackpots at the casino for a night, winning tickets with you guys, meeting Lisa at the Acoustic Christmas, just everything. Not hoping, as visualizing, make it happen.
So do you honestly believe if you didn't spend the brain power on The Secret that none of those things would have happened for you?
No. It's just there's times I've hoped for it. That's when it didn't happen.
Oh, you didn't believe enough.
Yeah. So hope, it's different when you hope than when you go ahead and just visualize it and try to make it happen.
I mean, what's the downside, Kevin, if Ralph is doing it and it's working for him and it's making him happy? Is there any reason he shouldn't do The Secret?
Well, here's the thing. Again, I think positive thinking goes a long way toward getting what you want.
Yeah.
But why doesn't, if Ralph's getting what he visualizes, why doesn't he visualize the lottery? Why doesn't he win $250 million when the lottery is there?
Mm-hmm. Ralph?
Ralph's going, well, I never thought of that.
Are you thinking too small?
Some people, you know, but I don't like to play the lottery.
You don't like to play the lottery. Okay, no. Good.
Who wants $250 million? All right, thank you for the call, Ralph. Appreciate it so much, sir. Let's go to Emily real quick. She's online, too. Talk about a life-changing event. Emily, tell us what The Secret did for you.
Hi. So I basically struggled with my weight, like my entire life, and I finally came across this book. And it absolutely changed my life. I listened to everything the book said, like picturing what I wanted to be my ideal weight. And I kept thinking positive thoughts, and it worked.
All right. Now, hold on a second, Emily. Did you change anything else? I don't know, like what you ate, the amount of exercise, any of that. Or did you do the exact same things you were doing when you were heavy?
I did the exact same things.
And all of a sudden, you just lost how much weight?
Sorry, what?
How much weight did you lose?
I lost 35 pounds in 6 months.
Nope.
All right. Then explain to me why Oprah didn't lose the weight.
Yeah, she's still fat.
She's the queen of The Secret.
Yeah, I actually saw it on her show.
Right, I know. But why is she still fat if The Secret works?
I'm not sure. I just constantly kept thinking about it.
Okay.
All right. So you used your brain power to melt the pounds away.
In a way, yes.
The universe did it, Bean.
Like, I didn't have any negative thoughts. I didn't actually kept telling myself, oh, I'm so big, I'm so fat, I don't like it. I just kept telling myself, okay, I'm going to be my ideal weight. I'm going to look skinny, and I'm going to be slim, and I'm going to be toned.
Well, if that works, that's fantastic news for our listeners. Thanks so much. Let's take one more. This is Epic. He's on line 8. He's got an oddball thing, although I certainly applaud what he wished with his laws of attraction.
Did he wish for a new name?
Hi, Epic. What's going on, man?
Hey, what's up, guys? Kevin and Bean, good morning.
I'm guessing your name is Eric?
No, my name is Epic.
Epic! Okay. All right, good.
All right, so check this out. So a while back, a couple of years ago, my girlfriend started got all into this thing, and at first I thought she was a weirdo, just probably like the way you guys are saying it.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And eventually, like, little things started, like the previous callers were saying, you know, she was winning free tickets to shows, she was getting things. So I started seeing, like, some, you know, a difference in there. So I started going along with it. I started getting all into the positive vibes and everything she was feeding into me, and long story short, things started getting better, and then eventually things got worse because me and my ex-girlfriend broke up.
Right.
Well, instead of thinking positive that we're going to get back together, I thought positive that I was going to get a way hotter chick than her, and I actually nailed her.
So you actually upgraded in the girlfriend department, even though the girlfriend's the one that told you about The Secret?
Yeah, exactly. So eventually that ended up happening, and my ex-girlfriend ended up getting into this little car accident where, like, her head kind of somewhat went through the window. And
oh, my God.
Kind of somewhat went through the window.
Oh, The Secret really works.
It really does. I want her to get in an accident where her head sort of goes through the window.
So that my much hotter girlfriend and I can sit over here and laugh at her. All right, Epic, we're out of time, but thank you so much for the call. I guess you got to be worried about using The Secret for evil, too, right?
Sure. Whatever. Okay.
We have so many more calls. I'm so sad that we don't have time to take it because many of our listeners believe in or using The Secret. But unfortunately, we do have to clear the lines right now and say goodbye to you because we are going to open them back up again for tickets to the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014.
I was just thinking that I wish we were going to do that.
Boom! And The Secret brought it to your life!
That's so great.
Same phone number, though, 1-800-520-1067. You will have to earn them. We'll give you a chance to play a game next for Weenie Rose tickets here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. The Secret's not working. Ralph's still whistling.
Yeah, it's over. That's
you might have to. You, You might have to get up on stage with them and do that at the Weenie Roast, Ralph.
Like they haven't asked?
Avicii and Beck and Foster the People and Fall Out Boy and The Neighborhood and Bastille and Fitz and Cap Cities and Fantagram and so much more. It's a week from Saturday. K-Rock Weenie Roast. We're going to give you some tickets right now at 1-800-520-1067. This game is called It Takes Two.
This is K-Rock now. Takes in the second row. We throw down. So famous twos is what you got to know.
Say, let's go, cuz. It takes two. You cut it off before we even got the name of the song.
There we go.
It takes two, baby.
Contestants are on the line. What are you going to be asking for?
All of the answers to all of these pop culture trivia questions will contain the word and or number two. It takes two. T-W-O, people. Chew. It takes
you. Sounds like it might be easy. Who's our first contestant?
Our first contestant is Jonathan in Downey. Hi.
Hi.
Hey, Jonathan. Your first question has an audio clue, so listen up. This hit song by legendary rock and roll star Eddie Money is simply the greatest song of all time.
Greatest song of all time.
Oh, so good.
That's absurd.
So good.
Jonathan.
I don't know it. Wait.
You should have been using the secret, man.
What do you think, Eddie Money? You think this song? What's that?
Is it Two Tickets?
Ooh, close. Keep going.
There
yes!
you go.
Yes! Nicely done.
You're in.
By the way, no shame, Jonathan, if you didn't know a song from Ralph's childhood, okay?
That song is forever. Now and forever. All and right. He knew it, too, so blimey.
He is in the draw. He's one step closer to winning the Weenie Roast.
Let's go to Irvine and speak to Vishwa.
Vishwa.
Vishwa. Hi, Vishwa.
Vishwa's in a subway station.
What? No, I'm just walking in school.
Oh, you're in high school now?
Yeah.
All right. Good luck.
Okay. Good luck. Here's your question. Actors Aaron Eckhart and Tommy Lee Jones have both played this Batman villain.
Fuck.
Wow, that's not the answer. I know that much.
I can't
say that on the air.
I wish there was a villain by that name.
That sure is.
That'd be awesome.
That's sure not the answer.
Do you have a guess, Vishwa?
This Batman villain played by Aaron Eckhart and Tommy Lee Jones in the movies. Okay, bye-bye now. Bye-bye now.
Two-Face is what we were looking for.
Two-Face.
Yeah, come on.
Not the F word, in fact.
Two-Face.
All right, let's go to Letitia in Long Beach. Hi.
Hi, good morning.
Letitia, here's your question. This hit CBS sitcom about a hedonistic jingle writer and his uptight brother with a young son first was broadcast in 2003. It's been on forever. CBS hit sitcom.
What is it called? Oh, crap.
Includes the word two.
Two. Is it two men and 2.5 men?
There you go. Nice save.
Wow. Okay. You can almost hear the gears in her brain.
Yep.
She got it right. Nice job.
In the drawing.
Let's go to Gabby in Mission Viejo. Hi.
Hi,
Gabby. Hi. This 2005 movie about sports gambling starred Al Pacino, Matthew McConaughey, and me!
Hurt his feelings.
Includes
the word two.
Al Pacino, Matthew McConaughey. Movie about sports gambling. Two for the money. I'm sorry, two for the money is what we were looking for.
Yeah, you got to get Ralph's movie, for God's sake.
Two for the money.
Let's go to Pasadena and say good morning to Robert.
Hey, good morning, Lisa.
Hello.
Good morning, Robert. This song, question has an audio clue, so listen carefully. This 1990 Sinead O'Connor hit was originally written by Prince.
Nothing can stop these lonely tears from falling. Tell me, baby.
You know the song?
Nothing compares to you.
Nothing compares to you.
Nicely done.
We have time for just one more contestant, you guys.
All right. Let's go to Megan in Ranchos Palos Verdes.
Megan?
Hi.
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 Megan, this 2002 film was appropriately the second film in the Lord of the Rings trilogy. The second film of the Lord of the Rings trilogy.
The Two Towers.
Two Towers.
Wow. Look at that.
Well done.
Done. Did not expect that to happen. Nope. All right, Megan, Robert, Letitia, and Jonathan, all in the drawing. Only one will win tickets in the second row for the sold-out K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Lisa, who's our winner?
Our winner is Robert.
Robert. Yay! Robert. Congratulations, awesome. Robert.
Great, thank you.
Second row, thanks for playing. Woo! 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 7:55. Mark Maron in the next room, joining us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Got a great, great show on IFC we'll talk about. Plus, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat on a Thursday morning.
Hey, if you want to see two full-blown published comic book authors, here's your opportunity. Because a lot of people want to see comic book art
in person.
You don't get to see those in person very often.
Oh, they're the rock stars of the 21st century.
They really are. Kevin Smith and I are returning to stage with Hollywood Babylon at the Improv on Melrose tomorrow night at 10 p.m.
No.
Yep. Yeah, we are. You can get your tickets at improv.com or babbleonralph.com. We'd love to have you come out and join us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose.
First of all, no! Okay. No!
All
no!
Right. All right.
Name.
I think you're excited. I can tell.
No,
there's a sense of excitement.
No, no.
Especially that woman. She's excited. How would you like to be in the upcoming Star Wars movie? It's pretty simple. For $10, you're in the movie. Boom. How's that? How do you like that?
That seems like it's going to be a big cast.
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. J.J. Abrams, along with Disney and Lucasfilms, have put together a charity event in conjunction with UNICEF called Star Wars Force for Change. They are doing it in conjunction with UNICEF's Innovation Labs. The program is basically trying to help the world's most vulnerable children, trying to take on some very big problems and find creative solutions for them. Disney's already donated $1 million to the project, and they'd like to start fundraising from you, the Star Wars fans. So here's what they're doing. If you go to Omaze, omaze.com/Star Wars, before July the 18th, and you simply make a $10 donation, you're automatically entered into a sweepstakes to win a cameo in Star Wars number 7.
Huh.
They are currently filming in Abu Dhabi. As we speak, J.J. Abrams did a video from there yesterday. It was posted online talking about this cool chance to appear in the Star Wars movie. But by the time they get to your part, should you win, you'll be filming in London at the Pinewood Studios, I believe.
With Jar Jar Binks.
I'm pretty sure Jar Jar's coming back.
Oh.
I do not think so. Here's a reason to buy V Magazine. I've never heard of V Magazine, but I'm going to own it.
Vahina is what it...
The summer issue. It may very well.
I think.
Apparently it's a fashion magazine, but this photo shoot will feature Katy Perry and Madonna in a full-blown S&M-themed photo spread with leather, latex, and bondage gear.
How much for just Katy Perry?
Good question.
I do not know. But if I have to wade through some Madonna to get to some S&M Katy Perry, I'm doing it. Don't you? You know, maybe I'm made of stronger stuff than you are, but I'm getting there. I'm getting through it. Don't you worry about me. I'll be like Bear Grylls out in the freaking tundra. Whatever it takes, I'm going to get to that destination.
Isn't it sad, though, that Madonna now has to look around and find actual stars of today that she can coattail ride on to get a little publicity?
You want to do a photo shoot with me, please?
I mean, it's sad, right?
I'll do it. I can hear her.
Who's popular? Whose photo I can try to get in so people remember I exist?
Yeah, I'm relevant, remember? Sit down, Granny. Pearl Jam and... Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt. I was just thinking, Kevin tweeted a photo yesterday or commented on someone else's photo of a picture of Madonna that honestly looked like my grandma. I couldn't believe it was really Madonna. You know the photo I'm talking about, Kevin?
Oh, sure.
I couldn't believe it was really her. And look, there's no crime in getting older. I'm not saying that. I mean, you know, she's lived a life. But she
didn't look like Madonna in any way.
She doesn't look like Madonna in any way, and she can't stop pretending like she's still 25 with the way she dresses and the Photoshop she does and not expect at some point it's just going to look tragic.
Yes.
Today's celebrity birthdays. These stars were born on May the 22nd. Singer Morrissey is 55 years old today. Former model Naomi Campbell is 44. Former model, current phone thrower, I think.
Yes.
Isn't that what she does now?
That
She's
is her job.
She's a professional phone thrower. Mm-hmm. She's 44 years old. Actress Jennifer Goodwin. You may remember her from Big Love. And also now she's in Once Upon a Time. Snow White, 36 years old today. Actress Maggie Q is 35 years old today. If you want to get Maggie a gift, get her a second name. Get her a last name this year. She could really use it because that Maggie Q is not a name. She's 35 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
Comedian, actor, writer, podcaster extraordinaire, friend of the show. Very happy to welcome back Mark Maron to the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Mark, how are you?
How are you? Thank you, fellas. Can I apologize again for not making that show?
You don't need to.
No, I do need
to. You
don't
need to at all. It wasn't your fault. It was,
I screwed up.
Scheduling mishap is
yeah,
all.
I screwed. It was horrendous mishap, but I had to go to my nephew's bar mitzvah, and he was thrilled about it. So I don't know how I would have done at the show, but I do not think that the audience would be nearly as excited as my 13-year-old nephew when I showed up for his big break.
Here's what I knew something was going south is we did the Adam Carolla podcast and
right.
you were there.
Right.
Uh-huh. And it was a week before April Foolishness. And I said to Mark, hey, we'll see you Saturday. And he's like, oh, it's not this Saturday, is it? And then that made me question it. And I was like, oh, no, it must be one down the road.
Well, here's my problem is that for some reason I have no capacity to look into the future far enough to know what I have on my schedule. I'm literally surprised sometimes where I'll look at my schedule, like, let's say on a Thursday, and it'll be like, I'm flying to New York tomorrow.
Oh,
how,
wow.
How did I not know that?
All right, let me ask you this question, because I'll take it a yeah. step further. I'll plan two, sometimes three things, same night, same time.
Right.
They never conflict in my mind. I don't go, hey, I had something else going on.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's because you have that moment where you're like, oh, I can get from Santa Monica to Silver Lake in 2 minutes and do that thing at that guy's house and then make it to the Comedy Store a half hour later. You know, if for some reason, when you make the plan, you're like, this will work out.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, that's good.
Yeah, there was no way I was going to be at your show and in Phoenix at yeah. the same time. But maybe
no.
some part of my brain goes, if I just fly back right after the bar mitzvah, I could probably make the last spot.
It's a quick flight.
If I go yeah. around the world the other direction, time will fold on itself, and I'll get there before I left.
I wish I had a better way to manage this, because it caused me a tremendous amount of dread. And people listening are probably like, why don't you just be a grown-up and look at your schedule and assess the week? And my brain just doesn't work like that.
You got to know your weaknesses and your strengths.
But, well, apparently I'd just rather panic, you know, yeah. around the clock. Just sort of like, what? He's coming over now? I'm not ready for that, that guy's coming?
It does seem like, Mark, you are busier now than you have ever been, at least that I've been aware of you as a public figure, with all the things you have going on. You're
yeah,
on
that's
you're
because every, you were never aware of me as a public figure.
But I mean, in the years that I've been listening to you as a podcast fan,
yeah.
and then to have the TV show and to have all the stand-up and do all the other interviews and things that you do, it
yeah.
does seem like you've got an awful lot going on right now, plus you're trying to live a life.
My life is, it's sad because that's the thing that takes the back seat in that I am very busy, and it is I don't think I give myself, it's not a matter of credit, but I don't think I really assess properly just how much is going on, because when you are self-employed, there's some part of you that always thinks like, I'm not really working.
Yeah,
you
know, like, I guess, yeah.
Like, all the stuff I do, the podcast, the stand-up, the show, obviously, there was a lot of people.
On IFC.
Yeah, well, that was a job, and mm-hmm. it was a great job, but, I mean, I knew I had to show up for work.
Right.
But there's some part of me, I don't plan, I don't plan vacations, I don't know that I'm having a life, because now I was recently dating someone, and I'm not, and now when I have time alone, there are those moments where you know, I'm 50, and I don't have kids, and if there's no one in my life, there are moments where I'm at home going, like, what does a person do now? What happens between the hours of 5 and 9? What do other people do? Like, should I make myself dinner? Well, that's sad. You're just going to sit and eat dinner by yourself? Watch TV. Do people watch TV? Yeah, everyone watches TV. Seems like a waste of time to me. So I end up playing guitar. Like, I'm just sort of like, I'm just going to play guitar for an hour. And then after I do that, I'm like, I nailed that. I just did some serious damage in the living room with my with my Epiphone Dot.
No, because you don't have to be to work at certain hours. Do you lose track of the days?
I don't know that I really frame it as work. You know, like stand up has always been, you know, just sort of what I do with my life.
Right.
And now, like with the podcast, I get exhausted because if I do 2 hour long interviews in a day,
that's a lot.
Yeah.
Well, it is because like the way I interview people, like I'm like locked in, you know, and I'm, you know, I can't autopilot it. So like I get done with some interviews, I'm like, I need a nap.
That guy's mentally exhausted. Yeah, right?
And a lot of times because I don't prepare that thoroughly, like I'll panic for about an hour before someone comes over. Like the other day, like RuPaul's coming over and he's stuck in traffic. So we're getting these phone calls like, I don't know where it is. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be aggravated when he gets here. I don't know what I'm going to talk to him about. So there's an hour of like, this cannot go well. And then when people come over, I'm like, hey, how you doing? Welcome. And we go in and generally it's the greatest thing in the world. But I can't not seem to do the panic.
You can't avoid the panic.
Right.
But
it's a problem.
You set up your interviews, so how do you choose people that you have no idea what you're going to talk to them about?
Well, why wouldn't I?
That's most of Mark's interviews, by the way.
Yeah, I mean,
Mark often says, I know as much about this person that's walking through the door as you do.
Oh. Well, that's usually it. I mean, it's like, I have an opportunity to talk to this person. That sounds interesting. Let's give that a try. That's
the extent of...
I guess
sort
so.
Of, like,
but
I don't
that's
know...
the energy you feed off of.
Well, yeah, because, like, I want to get to know this person. Yeah. So it's not unlike my travel problem. It's sort of like, I'm like, yeah, it sounds great. And then the day of, I'm like, why do we do this? So, but it always, because it's so immediate and because it needs to be so personal that, and because I need to connect, if I'm interested in the person,
yeah.
Like, how am I going to know it more than anyone else knows about anyone that comes over?
True. Well, you can do a little research.
Well, I do a little.
Okay.
But usually I'm weird with research. I like to know like where they grew up.
Okay.
And that's almost enough for me to go on. I don't want to skip, like, you know, if someone won an Oscar or cured cancer, I usually like to bring that up.
I would say if they cured cancer, that's probably
right,
worth it.
Yeah, out of respect.
Yeah,
so
sure.
Like, oh, you did the cancer thing, too. I just want to get that out of the way. But I forget sometimes, you know, and a lot of times it doesn't necessarily matter if the conversation is good.
Do you sit down across from somebody and go, wow, everything that comes out of their mouth I don't like?
Well, sometimes that hasn't really happened because I don't know that I do that kind of show. But there have been times where I'm like, I'm not getting at what this person is. That if there's a public narrative, like if somebody has a public persona and they're used to talking about themselves,
right.
I can sort of feel that detachment.
Right.
And either I can get around it or I can't. And sometimes the public narrative is not horrible because most people haven't heard most people who they are fans of talk for an hour.
Right.
But it's not emotionally satisfying to me. And I don't know if that's necessarily the agenda of a piece of entertainment. Like, I try not to, you know, introduce an episode with, like, you know, my needs were not met during this episode. You know, this guy really didn't help me at all. And
no connection.
There was not a lot of connection, but maybe you'll like it.
There's so many episodes, and I turn a lot of people onto the podcast, Mark. There are so many episodes that I point them to, but just for people who are listening right now, get the most recent episode of the interview that you did with RuPaul, because, first of all, I only know for RuPaul what I see on TV.
Right.
And to hear his backstory of how he grew up and him being in essentially a new wave band at 15 in Atlanta, all that stuff that led him to be the person that he is today, and his attitude, that thing that kind of went viral yesterday of him talking about, hey, if you get your feelings hurt by somebody else's words, then grow a big, you know, what did he say? Grow some balls or grow a thicker skin or something like that.
Yeah, I can't remember.
It was so refreshing to hear somebody say that publicly, that you're not entitled to a world where people don't say something that hurts your feelings sometimes. And it doesn't have to ruin your life. You can survive it. It was so great to hear him talk like that.
Yeah, that happened at the end. And it was something that I'd been criticized by the transgender community around the word tranny, that they're very offended by it. So I wanted to ask RuPaul. I figured, like,
thanks for bringing it up on our air. Then,
well,
I'm just kidding.
The weird thing is that, you know, there's an evolution of language, obviously,
yes.
and there is, you know, respect is necessary.
Yeah, I agree.
In culture and having people have a conversation about, you know, in RuPaul's old school and a lot of this of that community. are mad at him now. And it's fine. You know, you're going to make your own choices about what words you use. Obviously, it shouldn't be legislated. But
right.
Ultimately, it's going to come down to, you know, the freedom of speech needs to be protected. And if you make a choice to use a certain word in a certain context and you get flack for it, you're going to have to answer to that. And that's
right.
Something you're going to have to do. But I don't think that, you know, we need to sort of legislate the
I agree,
words.
But the other side of the equation that I took away from RuPaul is him saying you also have a choice of how offended you're going to be
right.
by what other people say.
Well, that's exactly it.
And people try – I think people go out of their way sometimes to get their feelings hurt. And it's just not necessary.
You're making me sad. I feel a little hurt by what you're saying.
I don't know why even. I have a choice not to think that way.
Somehow
– I didn't use the secret.
Mark Merritt is here. We have to take a quick break, Mark. I'm sorry. The podcast is – WTF, and you should be enjoying that. You should also be listening to it. And also, the TV show is called Barron, which airs Thursday nights at 10 on IFC. When we come back, we want to talk a little bit about the TV show. It's been a great season so far, but we need to ask you some questions about the Pete and the Pig episode before it airs. Because I fear that may fracture our friendship, Mark.
Okay. No, we won't be offended. Right. Don't worry about it.
No, I love you guys. Really, I do. I got
to. Once again, just trying to get a simple answer to a simple question. WTF, Mark Maron. That's all I want to know. WTF.
Yeah, that is the big question. Yeah, can you narrow it down a little? I mean, I have no answer to the broader question.
Understood. Hey, we want to talk about the show at IFC. But first, when you sat down, Lisa made a reference to your now ex-girlfriend. And I wanted to know. Is that a thing in your life where people, because they hear you tell the real stories of your real life on the podcast, have a familiarity with you and they ask you lots of personal questions about the choices you make or the people you date or whatever?
Yeah, well, it's a tricky thing. And I've certainly, in the process of learning my lesson about how much of my life I can share when other people are involved, it certainly strained my relationship with my father because of the show, the TV show and my book. Him and I are really not speaking.
Oh, that sucks.
Well, it does suck, but you know, from my point of view, I don't know why I do it the way I do it. And I'm starting to learn that it may not be the best way to do things unless you want to end up alone.
Yeah.
Because after a certain point, if you're dating someone and you talk about it on the show, people are going to be like, I'm not going to date you. Why would I date you?
Yeah.
It's going to be in your stand-up.
That fallout exists, right?
Right. Sure it does.
Yeah.
I mean, we addressed that on the premiere episode of Marin.
Right.
But also, it's like it is my life, so it's hard to deliberate. The one lesson I've learned is that when other people are involved, what you have to know is that if you're going to have an opinion about something, they don't have the platform to answer it.
Right.
So they're even if you think you're not throwing someone under the bus, you may be doing that just by virtue of the fact that they can't respond. So are you willing to live with the repercussions of that? Like my father, my argument was, look, I had Judd Hirsch play you, and arguably he's a better father. I couldn't have picked a more endearing man. But, you know, it's going to offend somebody. Even my friend, friend of mine who the Eric Stoltz character from last season was based on, he got offended. But then from my point of view, I'm sitting there going like, well, no one knows but you. So why don't you, you know, just keep it to yourself. It's our secret that I completely dragged you through the mud, you know, and I put our relationship at stake.
Does everyone run from you when they see you coming now?
No, I've gotten more diplomatic.
All
like
right.
I have not. I didn't talk about my last two breakups except in general terms. But people do the kind of relationship I have with my listeners. I respect, and I know that they have a very real and fairly deep relationship with me. And if I meet them, I try to afford them the time I can and be as gracious as possible because that's what I do.
Let me ask you one final relationship question, and this is something I'm sincerely interested in from your point of view.
Why does this feel like it's going to hurt me?
It's not going to hurt you.
Every time he prefaces a question.
I sincerely am interested in this. So you've just come out of a 5-month relationship with an age-appropriate woman. And by the way, I hope you go back to the non-age-appropriate women now, because I feel like you gave it a fair shot with one who was around your age. Now it's time to find another 25-year-old. But my question is this. At this stage in your life, when a relationship ends, do you consider it a failure, or do you consider it as it was still a good thing and I'm just appreciative for the time that we did have?
Well, I it's a combination, because most of the time they are enlightening. They may not be enlightening for the right reason.
Right.
And I appreciate the experience, but I'm sort of a romantic, if not completely codependent. So I like my insistence that a relationship should be how I fantasized it to be. I will sometimes stay in things for years, you know, waiting for things to turn around. So failure is a relative term. I do, you know, get angry at myself for for holding on to something that, that may be just something I'm making up. But
and you should have known it sooner.
Well, you do. I think you generally know it sooner, and it's not necessarily a negative thing. I think knowing that sometimes things just don't work out is a grown-up thing.
Yeah, and that doesn't mean somebody did something wrong necessarily.
Right. And also that, like, a reasonable way to end a relationship is not, you know, push them to the point where it explodes in drama and police are called. You know, that you don't have to break up that way. You you know, you can just say, like, this isn't working out. It took me
a
long time.
Well, you are an expert at breaking up.
Not really. I mean, my second wife left me. The relationship I had after, you know, I did end that, and I did end this last one, but it's very hard for me. I mean, it takes everything, because I actually wrote something in my notebook. Do I have my notebook? I do. Like, I wrote down, this is where I write jokes or ideas of jokes. I said, I hope she breaks up with me because I can't take it anymore.
So I totally get that. Yeah. Totally get it.
So I'm not the most courageous or brave person when it comes to really breaking up with somebody. It's like, I am going to make myself a complete ass, and she'll have to tell me to leave.
All right. Merit airs Thursday nights at 10 on IFC. Two episodes in, a great episode tonight where you and Jen, who plays your girlfriend on the show, go to a couples therapy, which looks like an awesome episode. But we don't have much time, so I want you to tell us about Pete and the Pig, because I don't know that you'll be back on before that one airs. Tell us the premise of Pete and the Pig.
Or apparently after that one airs.
No,
I might not
no.
be back on after that one. Well, no, the premise is that, you know, there's always this interesting dynamic between guys who do radio and people who start doing podcasting. And having done a little radio myself, you know, I do have a tremendous respect for radio because it's really where I learned how to do what I'm doing. And I'm no radio veteran. So that show, that episode is really about... For the Pete and the Pig thing is like, I go out, I'm on the road, and I do a morning radio thing. And the Pete and the Pig thing is literally, I go to a studio, and neither one of them are in the studio, and they're both in different cities. and they don't like each other. So it's not really based on this show, because I know you guys love each other, and you're both here. but it was not, it's not really a takeoff, because I know you guys are pros, and you guys have survived in this market and in radio. But, you know, there is some hackneyed versions of the morning radio show.
Oh, you've got
show.
A lot of bad radio shows in your
sure.
day. Absolutely.
So, but I actually brought in Ralph, and I brought in, you know, Heidi and Frank played another team, mm-hmm. And it was really about me, like, going, this is horrible. But then I'm listening to radio, and I hear Phil Hendry. I got Phil.
Who's a genius.
To play a character based on him, basically doing what he does. And in the whole arc of the episode is me going, like, who is this guy? And it's almost like Richard Dreyfuss in American Graffiti. I go find this guy broadcasting at this little station, and it turns out, like, I'm like, you're a genius. He's like, come on in, and we make a friendship. And turns out he's going to be fired the next day. And you know how radio goes.
Sure.
That means you don't know where you're going to go, what state you're going to end up in, and just by weird circumstances, I give him an opportunity to get some payback. So it was really about respect for the medium and sort of the weird changing of the media landscape. It was really an homage to radio. So it was not a
Will
shot.
Will
we at you.
See it that way?
Well, it depends how sensitive you are.
Not very. Is there any way I can be Pete and not the pig? Though? That's just my concern.
The pig. Well, honestly, the pig doesn't even talk. The pig, I don't want to spoil anything for anybody, but no, you're not going to take it personally. And if
okay.
you do,
is it
you know,
the
you
case
can...
that the pig doesn't get a chance to talk because Pete talks too much?
How dare you?
It's actually evolved to the point where Pete is not allowed to do anything but grunt.
Oh, all right. Okay,
but
good.
Yeah, but if you take it personally, you can call my father.
Okay. It is going to be funny when you actually end up breaking up this show as a result of your show. So
that's
all right.
All I'm trying to do in this world.
So sad that we're out of time, Mark. But Dr. Drew is going to join us next, so we're going to have to say goodbye here. But the podcast is great at WTF. The TV show is awesome. It's Maron Thursday nights at 10 on IFC. And always go see Mark Maron when he's doing stand-up if you can, because he's terrific. Although not in April Foolishness so much. Mark, great to see you again, man.
Thanks, fellas.
Thursday mornings, our good friend Dr. Drew Pinsky joins us on the phone. I don't know how he has time. He's also co-hosting Love Line 5 nights a week here on K-Rock, and Dr. Drew on call each weeknight at 6 on HLN. Hey, Doc. How are you, man?
Hey, now.
We are concerned that there are two things in America now that look like they can kill us easily. One is called MERS. One is called MRSA. How concerned should we be by these upcoming epidemics?
Well, by my calculation, the end of the world should be about 36 days away.
Let's start with MERS. That stands for Middle East Respiratory Syndrome. Now, you get that from having sex with a camel or what?
Well, you get that. after having sex with a camel crab, but one does not. But, yeah, it's so funny to me how these headlines become concerns for people. The reason there's a headline about MERS, which is Middle East Respiratory Syndrome, which is a virus, a coronavirus, a new one, a so-called novel coronavirus, that indeed maybe did come from a camel reservoir. They also thought it might have come from Egyptian tomb bats, but they're thinking camel now. There has been a documented person-to-person spread of the virus here in the United States. Therefore, there was concern because there really hadn't been that before. But it's not as though...
There's nothing you could do about it, though, right?
No, but why would you want to? There was one case. There's 600 worldwide. The reason it was a concern to physicians is that it was very deadly. It's a very rapidly progressive pulmonary virus, and it causes real serious lung problems. But don't worry about it.
People die? But, Doc, do people die or not?
Yes.
But, Doctor, look at any pandemic in the history of the world, including the Black Death that killed, what, like 25 million people. At one point, it was tiny and contained. It was one or two people. These things spread, and they spread fast, right? Kevin, we're not going to have time to let the doctor talk.
I cannot believe you're comparing this to the Black Death.
But I'm just saying, at one point, somebody could have said, oh, the Black Plague has only killed one guy. I'm just saying, they start somewhere.
Right. They, back in the Middle Ages, they knew exactly what that meant. But, yes, there's concern that this virus could mutate into something more contagious. And now that they have a person-to-person transmission, there's the Centers for Disease Control are going to watch it very carefully. And it's the ones that we aren't watching carefully got to worry about. The ones that get out without our knowledge that we got to
worry about. And how many of those are there, then? Let's talk about those.
we're all going to die, everybody. I got news for you.
Could a pandemic happen in the 21st century?
Yeah, of course. A pandemic. Bean, do you spend your time thinking about this stuff?
Yes,
he does. You know Bean.
Yes, you keep using pandemic. An epidemic will happen of some sort. But pandemics, yeah, there's concern about that.
What's the difference? I don't understand. Sorry.
Well, epidemic is like the flu every year.
Okay.
We have epidemics of things. And AIDS is still an epidemic. But pandemic means everybody is at
risk. Yes. All right.
Do you remember SARS?
Yep.
Okay.
We were all going to get it.
That's right.
Yep.
Just put it in the same category, okay?
Have poo-pooed MERS. What about MRSA? Now, we've been hearing a lot of stories about MRSA and E. coli both surviving on airplane surfaces and going all over the world by that way.
MRSA is actually a more serious concern. MRSA, or methicillin-resistant staphylococcus.
What is that?
I love the tone of Kevin.
What is it? I'm going to Brazil. I need to know this stuff.
Well, of course, they don't have it there.
All right, good.
Yeah, they of course do. It is a staph, people get a skin infection with staph, staphylococcus.
Yeah.
It's on our skin. It lives in our nose, but it has become resistant to commonly used bacteria, particularly what are called beta-lactams or penicillins. Now it's methicillin, which is our sort of most powerful penicillin. And it's resistant to the things that we commonly use. It's also tends to be influenced or encouraged by commonly used antibiotics, the quinolones, which is something we use a lot of for common infections like urine infections, and there's concern about that as well. And it's been in hospital for decades now.
Does it concern you that of what is it? Is this a virus or a bacteria?
This now is different than the Middle East respiratory virus. This is now a bacteria.
Okay. Does it concern you that bacteria is so smart that it can become resistant to antibiotics that we try to use to treat it? I mean, that's honked up, Doc.
That's why when you go to the doctor with your runny nose and sore throat, you should not take antibiotics. That's where this comes from. And there will be more and more and more of this. This is evolution. This is the evolutionary process.
Antibiotics causes it?
Absolutely. Bacteria adjust to adversity. We kill them off. They learn. They evolve into something that can not respond to those antibiotics. This is evolution. This is how evolution works.
It's an effing horror movie, is what it is. started this conversation. You started this You started this conversation by saying we had 36 days to live. You standing by that, Doc?
Yeah, for the world to come to an end.
Okay. All right. So you can see the final month of Dr. Drew On Call on HLN, Monday through Fridays at 6 p.m. and Loveline with Dr. Drew and Mike Catherwood. And don't forget the fine family of Dr. Drew podcast at drdrew.com and podcast
one.com.
Doc, you've done nothing to make us feel better.
He's trying to say something, Bean.
I appreciate it. And thanks for all the plugs. Now, when everybody, if I've done my job today, when you go to your doctor with your colds and your infections that are really just viruses, don't demand antibiotics. Use less antibiotics, and we will have less problems with resistance.
See, okay? We learned a little something. Thank you, doctor.
Right.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show at 8:54.
By the way, congratulations to Bruce Lally from Buena Park. Won tickets in row 2 for the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2014. Your chance to win coming up. Go to krock.com for details. Brand new internet roundup on the way. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. Hey, Ralph.
You know, we haven't heard in a while is Kevin's moment with. Can you get back to work for a second?
And, Muggs was just leaving the studio.
I don't
studio.
Know what he was creeping out of, like he was like a 40s cartoon villain trying to get out of the building.
He's out of the building more than he's in.
I'd like him to go back to work just for a minute and pull up the most recent
I'd
Kevin's
rather he didn't.
Moment
I think,
with.
I think Muggs is doing a show on another station during our show or something, because he's gone
he's
a
very
lot.
Very preoccupied.
Would you like to hear that show?
Oh, yes.
It would sound a little something like this.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Worst first dates. What's happening? What do you think's happening?
That was A Moment with Kevin.
Glad to bring that back.
That was rapid fire.
That's outstanding.
That was a machine gun.
Yeah.
Yep. It was a
I think that's
Tommy
top 10.
Gun.
I think
so
that's
too.
Top 10 this year. Yeah.
I think it's got a shot. I'm very excited for that. Did we want to give you a heads up? Tomorrow night, 10 p.m., Hollywood Babylon. Me and Kevin Smith return to the stage at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood. Love to have you come out. And all the kids are looking forward to it, right? No, now,
can't
I, can,
get a no now.
I can't get a no.
He wants any kind of no.
No.
Improv.com is where you go to get the tickets. There goes Muggs. He's gone.
Yep.
Improv.com for tomorrow, 10 p.m. Hollywood Babylon, or you go to Babylon Ralph. Love to have you come out. Join us.
No.
Seriously, what do you think he's doing?
I don't know. I can't imagine. He can't still be eating. He's eaten so much today.
Oh, he could easily still be eating.
He might
really?
Be, he might be making more room for more food.
That's right.
I'll make some room for those cobs. George Clooney is planning his wedding to Amala Lamadin in the fall. We now have a general time, so clear your schedules. September. Looks like it could be September, so make sure you get your weekends free in September.
Has he made any official comment on this in an interview or anything yet?
If he has, I haven't seen it.
Meaning right. Verifying that it's true, or meaning...
Well, we know it's true.
Yeah, we do think it's true.
They are engaged. We know that much. But now they're saying there's going to be a real wedding and everything in September. So good times. And, of course, the wedding of the century, as Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are calling it, is happening
this
that, weekend.
They're calling their own wedding that?
Yes.
Wow.
Happening this weekend in a fort... in what, Spain? Italy?
Italy.
Italy, yeah. It's just, I'm confused because everyone's going to Paris first. And maybe that's what he's doing. Maybe Beer Mug is recording hilarious French comedy in the other room.
Oui, oui, mademoiselle.
For more of Kat's Ferrari commercials or whatever it is she's selling. $2 million is what Kim dropped on her gown.
Just on the dress alone.
That's her dress.
Wow.
They had a bill given to them for $650,000 for the rehearsal dinner. Did they feed Italy? Did they feed the country?
It's unbelievable.
There's a $200,000 fireworks display that will be on hand at the end of the wedding. Each bottle of champagne costs $6,000.
Wow. It's
full security detail. That clocks in around a cool $3 million for the security team.
Oh, my God.
Word is Jay-Z and Beyonce will be performing for a fee.
He has to pay them?
I guess so.
I thought they weren't even going to go because they didn't want to be on the reality show.
Maybe this is how you get them there. A little...
The wedding's not going to be a part of the reality show.
Oh, that's so cute.
That's what Kim said.
I heard they're going to shoot everything up to it, and then they'll do a
post-interview,
like a Talking Dead show afterwards. They'll sit on the couch and talk about it.
Post it.
But there will be photos, and then those photos, of course, will be sold to offset the cost of the wedding, which they're speculating will be somewhere north of $7 million when it's all said and done.
Unbelievable. It is weird that Kanye and Jay-Z are actually friends and that he would have to pay him to play his wedding, though.
Well, where does Jay-Z and Beyonce work going to go? Because they didn't want to be caught up in all the hullabaloo.
Yeah.
But he will pay him, I guess.
You don't think I feel bad?
Not nearly enough.
Where were you, Muggs? What were you doing?
Ralph is absolutely right. I was making more room.
All right.
Oh, God.
Excellent.
Shouldn't there be a no pooping unless it's an emergency policy at work?
By the way,
every time he has to go to the bathroom, it's an emergency.
It was. I'm not exaggerating. 2 to 3 emergencies per day.
It's a lot of fiber.
But this is a real emergency.
Oh, be cool. Shut up. So when Ralph waved you off when you were trying to leave and he made you go back, that must have been
it was a bad thing.
It was torturous.
Terror for you.
You got to think quite often, in the privacy of his own home, he doesn't even bother getting up off the couch and going into another room, right? He just unloads.
Just lets it go?
Yeah.
I bet he eats on the toilet, I'll tell you that.
He just lives in his own filth. And the town of Buffalo, New York is boycotting Bon Jovi.
Well, it's about time because
they hate Bon Jovi.
Wait, why?
Well, first of all, he gives love a bad name. I know that much. But second of all, he's trying to steal their football team. Bon Jovi is reportedly working on a deal to buy the Buffalo Bills.
They could use a little something, right?
Then wants to move them across the border into Toronto.
Oh.
How about that? Protesters are calling themselves the 12th Man Thunder. I thought 12th Man was already taken, wasn't it?
I believe it is.
Yeah. They're asking all bars, restaurants, cover bands, and club DJs in the city of Buffalo, New York to stop playing John Bon Jovi music.
Well, that'll work.
That's a loss.
John is also banned from all locations. If you see him in town, tell him to get out of your establishment, they're asking. 28 businesses have signed up so far. And 3,500 Bills fans have signed a petition to make sure the team stays in Buffalo. 3,500 Bills fans. That means every person who goes to a Buffalo Bills game...
Sign that.
...each weekend has signed that petition.
Wow. Is Bon Jovi wanted dead or alive, does it say?
Just
that was legit. Wasn't it?
File.
Today's celebrity birthday, singer Morrissey is 55 years old.
No file today. On Ralph, by the way. File on B.
Oh! I
no file on
file.
He gives him a bad name,
no
but file on what? Now, please explain the difference to me.
Yours is way worse.
Why? Why was it worse?
I got a lesser sentence because...
Yours was bad, right.
Because at the scene of the crime, right. Someone else
committed a worse
murdered
crime.
Murdered someone, and all I did was simple assault.
You just beat up a guy. I shot him in the head.
And I will testify against him in a court of law, so
will.
I should probably get some deal with the prosecution.
That's correct.
Naomi Campbell's 44 years old today. Jennifer Goodwin turns 33. And Maggie Q, of course, with her smash hit, Two of Hearts. I love that song. Can't wait
that
for
was,
her to
actually,
see her
that
concert.
Was Stacey.
She's opening, I think, for Tim Minchin
that
in March.
That is not related.
Check out that
Maggie
show.
Nope. She's an actress.
She's 35 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show business.
How about a brand new Kevin Abena Internet Roundup for you?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Life's so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bane's Internet Roundup.
Hey, producer Dave, the King of Mexico. How are you?
What's up?
Dave's trying to bring back what's up.
He's trying hard to bring that back.
I
don't think it's gaining traction at all.
Either.
Kevin, in a minute, we'll explain how Clipper lover Dave found an anti-Lakers video to put in the roundup.
Oh, what a surprise.
What a reach this one
it
is.
It found me.
That's because Clipper lover Dave is really just Laker hater Dave.
We'll get to that in a minute. First, though, some of our old friends are back in the Kevin Abena Internet Roundup. We take all the best viral videos of the week, put them in one easy-to-find location at KREC.com or KevinAbena.com. Look, Godzilla is awesome, right?
Yep.
And Mike Realm is awesome.
Yep.
So you put those two together, you get the Godzilla remix. Come on. How awesome is that? And you know how great his videos are. The footage of the monster dancing in this video is just
pretty
worth
strong.
Seeing.
Fatzilla. Here's a band I wasn't familiar with. They're called Adam, and I don't know whose idea this was or how this came to be, but I'm glad I did. They're shooting all four of the girls. It's a girl band. They're shooting all four of them from the waist up, and they are singing one of their songs. But what you can't see is they're also being worked on by vibrators at the same time that they're singing.
Okay.
So they are trying to concentrate on the lyrics to their song while they are becoming more and more sexually aroused, and that concludes the way you would expect it to, and they still try to keep going, and it's pretty entertaining.
All I really want to know is if you're ever going to show.
Maybe not the best kind of multitasking to try to sing and use a vibrator at the same time.
Yeah, one or the other on that one. That song blows.
Good video, though. Worth checking out. Andy Samberg hosted the season finale of Saturday Night Live this past weekend, and, you know, he's awesome on these digital shorts. How would you describe this one? When will the bass drop, Dave?
I think it's a ode to the current DJ scene. Mm-hmm.
And the bass is so heavy on this song that it literally kills everyone in the nightclub.
Yeah, but
heads explode when the bass finally drops and he gets a little help on it from Little John. Check it out.
Get turned up to death!
He turned up to death is what happened. It's a great show, but you only get to see it one time. DJ Earworm is back. He took some of the hottest songs of the spring of 2014 and put them all together in a mix he calls Mashup for What. So well done. But I do feel like we're living in an age now where we're all so ADD. We all have to do so many things at one time that now we can't just listen to one song at a time.
I need four at the same time.
I mean, look, I'm busy. I want to hear all the songs, but I want to hear them all at once.
What does it say about that type of music, though, that four songs fit perfectly into each other?
That everything on the radio sounds
exactly the same?
Is that what it says? Yeah. All right, now we get into Dave's anti-Laker video. This one's called 16 Championships, and this video is making fun of those people who you could find them on the street today who would still hold up their finger and go, Lakers are number one, man, even though they really haven't won anything in a while. Check it out.
The Lakers are mathematically
eliminated. Oh, booyah, Lakers are done, son.
Don't matter. Laker gang. Lakers, baby. Bleed purple and gold. We still number one.
Well, dude, come on. You're number one? You guys aren't even going to make the playoffs.
It doesn't matter. 16 championships, baby. 16 championships.
Oh, here we go again.
Dave sitting there in his Clippers hat this morning. Anything you want to add before we move on?
That's actually a true story. So that's all you need to know about that video. That's how every single Laker fan is.
Sure.
Kevin.
This is a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup. We're going through this week's videos. This one's called How to Sneak into Any Game. And the guy thinks that Dodger tickets are too expensive. So he's got some tips on how you can not only get into the park, but how you can get free beer, how you can get free hot dog. I mean, he's a scammer. It's called the Grand Scam. And here's one way that he has to get into Dodger Stadium where you just pretend, oh, I forgot something. Please let me in.
Now you're just going to walk up to the front gate with bottle in hand. And then you're going to say something like this.
Sorry, I have to get in real quick. I left my ticket and my jacket with my wife, and I had to go get baby formula. I have to get this in there as soon as I can. Oh, thank you. Thank you very much.
Did you guys notice anything about that baby formula? No, you didn't.
That's a white Russian. And security's not going to taste something they think came from your wife or girlfriend's.
See?
Oh.
Good tip. Gets into the game for free and gets alcohol into the game for free. So there you go. Our favorite hairdresser, Jonathan, is back. This week's recap of Game of Thrones. He calls it Gay of Thrones.
You know, for me, that's not how I would have handled that situation. I would have, like, been so verbal about it. I would have just, like, let my tushy do the talking.
I bet she pegged him.
Pegging? What's that?
Pegging is, like, when if you're a girl and your boyfriend wants to get on a and you it's pegging.
You are so smart.
I know. It's amazing.
Speaking of Game of Thrones, I can't believe this happened. Somebody sat down to interview on television Peter Dinklage and had never seen the Game of Thrones, okay?
Wow.
So actually asked Peter Dinklage what's happened so far. Now, we throw that out there as a joke sometimes. A complicated show's been on for four seasons. What's happened so far?
But you got to give it up for Peter Dinklage, man. Very quick on his feet. He managed to come up with a very succinct recap.
Stabby, 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 stabby. Sexy, 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 stabby, stabby, stabby. Beautiful, beautiful language and beautiful scenes of poetry and a couple jokes. And more stabby, stabby.
I mean, that's about it, really, right?
Yeah. Didn't Beer Mug ask someone about Dawson's Creek like that? Or,
yes.
He's asked that about Friday Night Lights. Yeah.
A bunch of shows, exactly. And finally, the king of the internet, Patton Oswalt, is back. It's a very funny video where he is a guy who sets up a I Hate Patton Oswalt meeting. Because he wants to confront all of his fans, all these people who always trash talk him on the internet. He feels like he's going to walk into the room and they're all going to be big losers and he's going to feel good about himself if he meets his haters. And that's what's going on here.
I'm here for the Patton Oswalt hater group.
That's us. Huh. Look, everybody, it's Patton. Wow. Oh, I think you are so unfunny.
Oh, well, I think you're a coward. You just hide behind a computer all day.
I'm not a coward. I'm an Iraq war veteran and now I run a Fortune 500 company.
Oh.
I'm just thrilled for the opportunity to finally tell you face to face that I think you're gay.
And he goes around the room and every single person has way more going on than Patton Oswalt does. And he learns a valuable lesson about the internet. You can see all these videos and more at krock.com or kevinandbean.com. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
The other night on the Billboard Awards, Imagine Dragons was on there, and when they brought them up to accept an award, they mentioned that their album that we've been playing here on K-Rock has been in the top 10 on the Billboard Rock chart for 2.5 years. No one's running out of enthusiasm for Imagine. 2.5 years it's been in the top 10 best-selling rock albums in America.
Call me at 3.
Pretty remarkable stuff.
Boring.
3 years.
3 years.
Anything then, short of 3 years?
Yeah, then they've done something. I don't hear 2.5.
Well-deserved, I think. Hey, it's 9:38. Rob is here, time for the Showbiz Beat.
We were just talking to him, a guy named Seth MacFarlane.
Mm-hmm.
He's a pretty talented guy.
Yeah, he does it all.
He sure is.
I would sure like to go work for him.
You should.
All the time.
But, and here.
Sure. That would be good, too.
You'd miss your buddies.
I would.
That's one thing we know about Ralph. He'd miss his buddies.
I've got poop emergency. I'd miss that. I miss hearing that.
You don't think they have any poop emergencies over at Family Guy? You think they're actually adults over there?
Yeah, everyone just
handle their bowels.
Does their work, is very creative and easygoing and fun to be around. Yeah, I had to go. That poop was coming out. Working at a grade school.
Then Kevin's in the corner with his banky.
On his mat. He's just taking a nap.
Hey, how did this turn on me?
No, on a num-num.
I'm just looking around the room and seeing that Ralph's making some pretty valid points about Dave over there in his panda shirt. I mean, it really is. It's a preschool.
Yeah. And the other room, they're saying, oh, there's a job for a panda hugger. I would like to have that job.
Really?
Yeah, apparently they're hiring a panda hugger.
I'm sure he said panda, though.
He did say panda. Yeah. Can't speak English. What's going on? What is this, a place of business?
No.
Anyway, talking about Seth MacFarlane, his new movie, A Million Ways to Die in the West, is... is coming out in theaters on May the 30th. You, however, you, my only true friends on the Kevin and Bean Show, the listeners, I want to give you some passes to see a very special advanced K-Rock screening of A Million Ways to Die in the West. On May the 27th at the AMC Burbank 16. Want to go? Call me now. 1-800-520-1067. First 5 callers through at that phone number. Who are nice to Chip, by the way. Don't be mean to her.
People are being mean to her?
People are being mean to her.
She doesn't need your crap, people.
No, she doesn't. First 5 callers will win a pair of tickets to see that movie that I can't say anymore. Because...
A Million Ways to Die in the West?
Speaking of tickets, tomorrow night at 10 p.m. at the Improv on Melrose in West Hollywood, Kevin Smith, and I haven't even told you what's going on yet. How can you say no? It might be something you want to go to.
No.
Kevin Smith and I are doing Hollywood Babylon on stage, and we'd love to have you come join us tomorrow night at 10 p.m. You can go to improv.com for tickets.
Not interested.
BabylonRalph.com.
Fantastic.
See?
Mugs is in.
Beer Mug's coming. Dude, I missed the show because I had a poop emergency.
You should just wear a diaper full time.
Do you have a problem? Do you have some sort of condition? You need a colostomy bag or something?
Seriously, none of the rest of us...
You have Crohn's disease? What's wrong with you?
None of the rest of us have to, out of the blue, make a beeline for the bathroom.
Coffee tends to mess with my bowels a little bit more than other people.
But we drink coffee, we eat in the morning.
I know, but coffee especially affects me.
Well, maybe don't do that then. Maybe switch to green tea or something. I don't know. But every day, two or three times a day, you go running out of here.
But we cannot have him less sharp.
I mean, if that coffee's helping. Maybe switch to cocaine is what we're saying. Is there a more powerful stimulant?
Meth.
How about just adrenaline in a syringe jammed directly into your sternum? All right. I was going to get to this last hour, but I ran out of time. Pearl Jam in the news. They've released their tour dates. Very exciting for a lot of Pearl Jam's fans to see the band back live on stage. Another 10 dates have been added to the concert schedule. They'd run from October 1st in Cincinnati all the way through October the 22nd in Denver. Pearl Jam is also set to headline both weekends of the Austin City Limits Festival, which runs from October 3rd through the 5th, and then the 10th through the 12th as well. So if you're a Pearl Jam fan, a lot of chances to see Pearl Jam this fall. More touring news. Queen and Adam Lambert are performing in Australia. I don't think they've ever performed in the States.
But they're going to this summer.
Are they really?
Staples.
What is happening?
All right, Lisa.
Got tickets.
You said what, the Adam Lambert update?
Already got tickets.
Who knew it would come from her?
Really?
Yes.
You go to very few rock shows. How did you choose this one?
Well, my boyfriend loves Queen. I love Adam Lambert. It was a marriage made in heaven.
It really is.
I guess so.
Unlike you and your boyfriend, this is a marriage made in heaven, Queen and Adam Lambert together. I'm kidding. Lisa, give me a scowl.
By the way, a lot of times I would not be excited to see a classic band take on a new singer and hit the road. It would just look like a cash grab.
Yeah.
And maybe that's what's going on here, but Adam Lambert is the perfect fit for this.
Yeah, he really is.
I remember when he was on American Idol, he sang some Queen songs.
He was amazing.
He was terrific. Kim Kardashian and Kanye West, of course, are getting married this weekend in what they are calling the marriage of the century. The wedding of the century.
Well, they should know.
Look, they may be right. I don't know any other weddings that are estimated to, when it's all said and done, cost $8 million. Do you?
Oh, you.
$2 million just on a gown. Champagne bottles at $6,000 per. Champagne for $6,000.
What markup you think they got on that?
I don't know, but
each bottle costs like $4.
I'd like to talk to their supplier. I would like to pick up some of those bottles.
I'd like to legitimately know how a dress can cost $2 million. Do you think it just has a bunch of jewels on it, like a bunch of diamonds or something maybe?
I think it would have to be worth that much.
I don't know. I think any designer can charge anything they want for whatever they
but
make.
I'm sure it's encrusted with jewels and beads.
It'll be encrusted at the end of the night, I'm sure. $200,000 fireworks display. You can't have a wedding without fireworks.
That's right. That's just reasonable.
It is the most reasonable cost in the entire lineup. Security detail is going to cost $3 million. So they're estimating around $8 million when it's all said and done. It's nuts.
How many motherfuckers you done seen with a leather jogging pant?
That's a good point. Congrats to Caleb Johnson. He is, speaking of American Idol, the winner from American Idol Season 13 last night. It all came to a head. And Caleb Johnson.
Well, I felt the excitement of that.
We were all on pins and needles waiting to see if Caleb would beat out over Jenna. It was a 9-hour show, I think, last night. I don't know how long.
Seems long.
They had performances from Paul Stanley of Kiss.
What?
And Demi Lovato. So that all happened.
Ralph, I heard that Ryan Seacrest sang on the show last night.
I heard the same story. Apparently Richard Marx came out and tinkered on the ivories while Ryan Seacrest sang Right Here Waiting for You.
Really?
Yeah. And do you want to be in the new Star Wars movie?
Sure.
Well, here's your chance. J.J. Abrams and Disney and Lucasfilm are all getting together, putting together a charity to find some creative solutions to some of the world's biggest problems when it comes to vulnerable children. They're teaming up with UNICEF and their innovation labs in a project that is being called Star Wars Force for Change. See what they did there?
Mm-mm.
Force for Change.
Force for Change. So they're hoping to make change happen?
Yes, Kevin, that's exactly what they're hoping to make.
Okay.
They are raising money. Disney's already committed $1 million to the project, but they're trying to raise money from you, the Star Wars fans, by having a very special contest. If you go to omaze.com, omaze.com/Star Wars, before July the 18th, you simply make a $10 donation. You will automatically be entered for a chance to win a cameo in the upcoming Star Wars Episode 7. They will fly you over to the UK. You will film there at, I believe, Pinewood Studios is where they'll be filming there. And they'll put you in makeup and wardrobe and everything. And they will make you unrecognizable to your friends and family and put you way, 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 way in the back.
Ain't nobody got time for that.
A lot of people have time for that.
No, they said you'll be actually featured in a little cameo in the movie. So that's worth $10, isn't it?
Absolutely.
And it's a good cause, too.
Great idea.
Go over there and do that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Singer Morrissey is 55 years old today. Naomi Campbell, former model and phone thrower, is 44 years old. Jennifer Goodwin, she is 36 years old. She just got married to Prince Charming on her show. She plays Snow White and she married Prince Charming. Isn't that adorable?
Sure.
It's going to make the divorce that much more painful, I think. And actress Maggie Q, one of Kevin's favorites.
I do love her.
35 years old today. Kevin loves her because he can spell her last name. Maggie Q turns 35 years old.
C-U-E.
See what I did there?
Mm-hmm.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Kevin and Bean show. We have the movie beat because it is Friday. We have tickets to the K-Rock Weenie Roast in the front row.
What the what?
In the first row. Tomorrow morning. And we also have tickets to Game 4 of the NHL playoffs, Western Conference Finals, Kings Blackhawks. I don't know if you saw the game last night. Kings scored
nuts.
5 goals in the third period. Against Chicago.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah.
So game 3 is Saturday. We got tickets for game 4 Monday night, and we have those for you tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and B.